much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Muppet Telethon. We have Muppets standing by to take your calls.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing our daughter home to us and watching over her while she's been out whoring with the devil's children and protecting her and keeping her from harm and keeping her from sexually transmitted diseases. Through Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We can do this together. There is no I in freedom. Freedom is not needum. It's weedum.
And now,
are there any girls here?
Our feature presentation.
Twins.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Wednesday, the 14th of August.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean. They're awesome.
I was thinking about Lisa today because we're taking the show to New York City next week, broadcasting for a few days around the MTV Video Music Awards. And Lisa usually goes with us. She's not going this year. And I'm very sad because I think the one time a year, Lisa, you and I have a meal together is in New York City.
That is true. And think of all the theater I'm going to miss.
But that's really...
And you know why I'm not going?
Yeah, this is the hard part for Lisa.
I got bumped for beer mug.
That has got to hurt and hurt deep and hurt bad.
Beer mug
what does that say about me?
And Beer Mug runs the board, so he's not allowed to travel ever. But we decided this time there's a lot of interview opportunities.
Right. So I guess I've been put in my place.
Fantastic.
I've now climbed down the rung below Beer Mug. And you don't ever want to be below Beer Mug.
No, you really don't. That's just too close to his ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
So that just is all kinds of hurt for me.
Yeah, sorry.
That's going to be a lot of therapy for you when you get bumped for Beer Mug for any reason. That hurts. Speaking of Beer Mug, Kevin, I know you saw this story yesterday, but I think it bears bringing onto the air because Beer Mug may have outsmarted us all. He, for all the times we've made fun of him for how much he eats and how bad he looks and how he's at least 50 pounds overweight and he's going to probably die before he's 40, he may actually have won because he is going to beat the flesh-eating bacteria when it gets to him, and we're not.
Because he has so much flesh?
This is a story from Britain, Lisa. Russell Kimball is the man's name. He weighed just under 400 pounds, was in the hospital for a routine operation. And by the way, I don't know what's up with the flesh-eating bacteria, but it's really in the news a lot lately.
It's been coming on strong.
Yeah, there's a 4-year-old boy in Florida who's got it right now. There was an 11-year-old earlier this year in Mesa, Arizona, Kevin, who beat the disease. A kid about 12, I think, in my state, Washington, who beat it earlier this year. I don't know why all of a sudden, and I don't even understand. There's no way to avoid the flesh-eating bacteria. There's nothing you can do to try to not get it, right? It's just one of those things that's out there and you can't see it. You're not engaged in dangerous behavior when it happens.
No, it just
comes out of nowhere, right?
I think it's random, yeah.
I don't know why it's in the news so much lately. So this guy's 400 pounds, just under. He goes into the hospital, routine operation. And then he gets the flesh-eating bacteria, necrotizing fasciitis, I guess it's called. Here's the quote. It usually originates at a site at a trauma such as a surgery and spreads rapidly through the body, destroying skin, tissue, and fat at a rate of up to 3 centimeters an hour.
Oh, my God.
To stop its spread, patients need emergency surgery to cut away infected flesh, with some losing, many by the way, limbs and organs as a result. So this guy, they put him into a coma, an induced coma, for 9 days. He underwent 20 operations to remove the inflected flesh. So what they would do is they would carve out a few pounds here, a few pounds there, and then wait and see if it still was in his body or not, if it showed up or not. And then when it showed up again, they would just keep cutting. They ended up cutting out over 60 pounds of his body while he was in the hospital.
Wow.
Dude. What did he look like at the end of that?
Depends on what you started.
I mean, you're right, Lisa. I mean, depending on all the different places they might have cut skin away. Here's his quote, and this is why Beer Mug wins. I had a lot of weight to lose, but being such a big chap is probably what saved my life, along with all the work of the doctors and the nurses. Surgeons could afford to cut away a lot of my skin and flesh, which was fortunate as it was spreading so fast. Surgeons would remove a load of skin and flesh, then take me up to intensive care to assess how I was doing. Then I would go back down and they would remove some more. They never had to get to any of his essential organs or limbs because he was so goddamn fat.
Too many layers of flesh.
Yep.
He could give up. He could say, go ahead, take him. I don't need him.
So this same guy, who, by the way, is engaged to be married, had to put his wedding on hold because of this surgery. And let that be a lesson to all you guys out there who are trying to get a woman. He was 400 pounds and he was engaged to be married. If he had been trim and walked in that hospital at 185 or whatever he's supposed to weigh, he'd probably be dead right now.
Wow. Awesome.
He would certainly be dead. Of course, he's living a miserable life at 400 pounds.
But he's still living it.
That's true.
He is still living. I'd rather be 400 pounds than alive.
If it hit all of us on the show, Muggs is one man left standing.
That's true.
Yep. He wins. Totally wins. He laughs all the way to the buffet.
Again.
So well done, Muggs. Congratulations. You got something to look forward to.
Woo-hoo! Nicely done. Well played. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're obviously not afraid that you're boring.
Christopher Mintz-Platz will be in the studio. Very excited about that.
I like him.
Red Mist.
Talking about Kick-Ass 2 or Mother Effer. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are going to talk to Joe Rogan about his TV show, Joe Rogan Questions Everything, on the Sci-Fi Channel.
I'm going to take exception with Mr. Rogan, who I love, because I don't think he questions anything. I think he believes everything he hears or reads.
Well, there's a lot of that.
I just know
he's
what you're
willing
saying, yes.
to believe stuff that we yes. don't even consider.
Oh, Bigfoot, you guys. Seriously. I mean, come on, Joe.
But at least during the hour-long show, he debunks most of the most of what the people are saying, because they're shaky.
Yeah, he pretends he doesn't believe everything. You're right.
They are shaky. Eddie Ift will be in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
Yep.
Very funny guy. And inappropriate clothing at work in the 6 o'clock hour. You got busted for it. You got written up for it. You got warned for it. You weren't dressed appropriately.
Or there's somebody in your office who's driving you crazy yes. because of what they're bringing into there every day.
And beer mug showing off. Hey. Yeah, Beer Mug wears flip-flops, and we can't get him to stop doing that. And it's not just flip-flops because, all right, fine. But he's nasty.
Icky feet.
He's got nasty feet.
Yeah.
Nasty?
They're nasty. Did that sound like a question? So anyway, we'll talk about that in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. Now
we're going to meet the real-life Mr. Happy coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. An incredible story about something that happened to a man who had a stroke. 5:53 now. It is Wednesday. Ralph joins us now. He's the opposite of Mr. Happy. He's here with the Showbiz Beat.
How dare you, sir? I assumed you were talking about me when you said you're going to meet the real-life Mr. Happy. That's what they call me.
No one calls you that.
They call me Mr. Happy.
Is that a penis nickname, or where's that coming from? I've not heard anyone refer to you as Mr. Happy.
Well, you guys don't know. Afternoon?
Boo!
Showtime.
That's when you turn it on.
Nicest guy in the world.
That's when the charm hits. It's just late. It's just late to rise. You know, Beer Mug's big fat ass. And,
hey!
It's Omar's birthday today. DJ Omar Khan.
Oh, nice!
DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
Who I think I can say, without reservation, is my favorite person here at the show.
He's the nicest person on the program.
He is. He's the best
person. Well, he'd be tied with Lisa.
Lisa's, I think Lisa's right, Lisa's right up there.
Equally
yeah,
nice,
but he's yeah. got talent.
But he makes everything that I do possible, so he's invaluable to me, and he's just a really good guy, and just really, I just could not be happier to celebrate his birthday. So our assistant producer, Christine, went out of her way to make some cookies for him. Which I thought was nice.
Oh, I didn't know they were for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huh. So I'm sitting there in the office where the cookies are. And, of course, Beer Mug, like a basset hound, comes sniffing in. He realizes there's cookies. Look at these. Happy birthday, Omar. And just starts picking up piles of cookies to take him in. Omar hasn't had one yet. The only person who got to the cookies before Beer Mug, 20 seconds into them hitting the surface of the table where they are currently.
Yes.
DJ Party Bus.
All I heard was cookies.
It's cookies. Okay, if he says, all right, I don't mind if I do. He said as he stuffed his face. Omar. Yeah, well, maybe just take 30 seconds to find out the lay of the land before you start eating people's cookies.
I would have eaten more had I known they were for Omar.
Omar may not get a cookie for his birthday today, is what I'm saying. They're almost all gone. Thanks to Eve W. Ladbat and...
and my trusty sidekick.
And the flesh-eating fighter over there.
Well, Muggs
damn
was,
it, people.
Muggs
jeez.
Was definitely double-fisting him. I've never seen a guy carry more stuff.
It's madness. You would think it's the zombie apocalypse, and that's the last body on Earth, the way these two go at it.
Pretty good cookies.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell
Omar
you
about
said
it.
That. Yeah.
When be nice for him on his birthday to hear about how good they were.
And he reaches into the box of crumbs to see if there's anything for him. All right, let's talk showbiz news. Congratulations. Of course, yesterday we did mention that George Lucas and his lovely wife Melody have a new baby girl. What we didn't know was her name. Now we know. Her name? Everest.
Farrah Abramson?
Not Farrah Abramson. Everest.
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 For
like,
reals?
Like Mount Everest?
Everest Lucas.
Really?
Everest. You really are cursing this girl throughout junior high school for every guy who ever gets his hand on her boob.
Yep.
Dude, last night. I climbed Mount Everest. Woo! High-fiving in the gym locker room.
You have made bad choices.
I got to the peak of Everest.
Do you guys know, I don't, if that previously existed as a person's name?
It's the first
Everest,
Everest I've ever heard of. I've heard of Everett.
Yeah. Right.
But I've never, not an Everest.
Hmm.
Maybe they just misspelled Everett.
Maybe.
Possible.
Someone check George Lucas's handwriting. This is sad. Speaking of names, Amanda Bynes still going through tremendous troubles in her treatment for her bipolar disorder / schizophrenia. They're not really sure what's going on there, but she is struggling. According to Star Magazine, at least, they say she is telling everyone in the mental facility where she's being treated that her disorder isn't a really big deal. But she is flipping out on anyone when they call her Amanda instead of Sandra.
What?
Her chosen name, Sandra. She decided she wants to be known as Sandra now.
But, okay.
Which of her personalities wants to be known as Sandra? Yeah. We don't know yet.
But her legal name is Amanda?
To the best of my knowledge.
Wow.
Yes,
and that's what everybody has called her up until this week.
Right. This week, it's Sandra.
She was fine with it.
Sandra this week.
Sandra. Yeah. All right.
While we're talking about facilities and rehab... Lady Lauren had a special visitor when she was at Cliffside in Malibu. Ben Affleck showed up to spend some time with Lindsay.
They know each other?
They don't. However, Ben himself had gone through treatment for alcohol dependency. And he said he wanted to go visit her and talk about how to maintain a sober life in the entertainment community. Give her some tips and give her some advice because he knew she was going to be coming out soon. And he was rooting for her and wanted her... to have the benefit of his knowledge. It's a really classy
super
thing to
nice.
Do.
Yeah.
How about that?
There was some speculation. You know, he's just about to direct a new film called Live by Night. There was some speculation that perhaps he wanted Lindsay to star in that film, to which everyone involved said, oh, no. So it was just really his generous spirit in trying to keep her on the straight and narrow, which is kind of cool.
That's cool.
From the cool celebrities to Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Now what?
This, according to the Daily Star newspaper out of London, they have shelled out $1 million for the construction of an armored vehicle to transport their son around.
$1 million for an armored vehicle?
Yes.
Because,
Kevin...
Is the kid in some kind of danger?
Well, it is the heir to the throne, so you have to... Oh, wait a minute. No, it's just a kid. They said... it's been built to military specifications by the Darts Motors Company in Latvia. It will be bulletproof, explosive-proof, and an interior that will be designed and customized by Kim.
Do they feel that this child is going to get kidnapped or something? And if so, why?
I suppose that's the plan, is they're protecting the child because out of fear of the violence or kidnapping.
I mean, there are an awful lot of high-profile people who have children... that don't have to go to these extraordinary lengths.
Or, what is my suspicion, it's the son of Satan, or daughter of Satan.
Interesting.
The child of Satan.
Got to protect
the
child of Satan.
And, you know, I think the Vatican assassins are going to start coming after it to look for the 666 on its scalp. It's all for you, Damien! Next thing you know, you got to protect the kid. And while we're talking about children and death, Taylor Swift, 23 years old, has already made plans for her tombstone.
Oh, is she going to visit it soon?
I sure hope so. She tells Marie Claire magazine that her tombstone, she wants to be emblazoned with a line from her song State of Grace. This is the line she wants on her tombstone.
Right.
Love is a ruthless game unless you play it good and right.
I don't get that on a tombstone.
Even in death, she's just unbearable.
Love is a ruthless game.
Unless you play it good and right.
That's terrible.
It's just pointless and stupid.
If you're going to put a good saying on your tombstone, aren't there millions?
Yes, but she wants a line from her song because it's about love being hard, man. She should put on, I am never, ever, ever getting back together. That's what she should put on there. Today's celebrity birthdays. DJ Omar Khan, as I mentioned. Our boy DJ Omar Khan is celebrating.
DJ Omar Khan.
No one knows how old he is because his sleeper cell won't give us that information.
That's true. Well, he's got all fake paperwork anyway.
That's right.
It may not even be his real name.
We found out yesterday that Omar Khan is on a permanent no-fly list.
Isn't that funny? And he can't get off it, no matter what.
Can't get off it. He's got to, every place he goes, he's got to check in with security and just bend over and touch his toes.
The time is now!
Hey, Omar! Hey! New England Patriots quarterback Tim Tebow is 26 years old today.
Yeah, I just want to thank my teammates and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I just enjoy saying that.
About Patriots. New England, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll never say it again, I'll tell you that, after today.
Spencer Pratt is 30 years old today. Mila Kunis, also 30 years old. Lamorne Morris, Winston from New Girl, 33 years old.
He's great.
He is great. Kevin Cadigan from Third Eye Blind is 43 years old. Halle Berry, 47 years old today. Irvin Magic Johnson from your Los Angeles Lakers turns 54. Actress Marcia Gay Harden, who's been so good on Newsroom this season, 54 years old today. And actor, comedian, legend Steve Martin celebrates his 68th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't know if medical science will ever figure out strokes, what causes them, and why they do the crazy things they do. But I am fascinated with the changes that it makes to a person's brain after they have a stroke. Not all the time, but sometimes. You see stories about, well, there's a guy the other day who woke up speaking Swedish, for instance. Never knew any Swedish in his whole life. Woke up speaking Swedish after
a
stroke.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, how does that happen? There are people who wake up who think they're different people. There are people who wake up who there's a guy earlier this year who woke up and said he was gay after a stroke. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that happens. But I've never seen a story like the one you have for us today, Kevin.
Well, depression is the most common emotional change from a stroke. Usually, if people get a stroke, it changes their brain chemistry somehow, and most of them get depression. This story, Malcolm Myatt, who is a 60-year-old grandfather from England, had a stroke and can no longer feel sad. They have now dubbed him Mr. Happy.
Really?
They've given him the nickname Mr. Happy because he can't feel sadness anymore.
So no matter what happens, he's fine. Is that right?
They say in this article, Lisa, that the worst thing that happens at his age is that when he goes to a funeral, he annoys everyone else there because he's laughing and joking around.
Oh my God.
And just having
really?
The time, smiling, telling jokes, having the time of his life. And obviously, you know, people who don't know him are like, what's this asshole's problem? You know what I mean?
So he doesn't even have the ability to understand?
No.
He does not have, he cannot process the emotion of grief or sadness anymore.
He isn't going to none of my funerals.
How many are you having?
I don't know, but he's not invited.
Mr. Happy.
They also say when he starts laughing, everyone else in the room does. If he's hit hysterics, everyone else is too. He livens up every room. Everyone misses him when he's not there. He's apparently the happiest man in the world. And we asked producer Dave, hey, we'd like to talk to Mr. Happy because Malcolm Myatt, 68 years old in Britain, sounds like a fun dude. And I believe he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Malcolm.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing?
We're very good.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
So, is there any kind of downside to not being able to feel sadness, Mr. Happy?
Not as far as I can tell, that's for sure. I'm happy all the time.
Now, I'm guessing before the stroke, you could feel sadness like anyone else.
Oh, yeah, I felt sadness just like everyone else, but now I don't feel any of it anymore. I'm much happier, which I think is a better thing. Because, look, What good is it feeling sad for you anyway? It doesn't help you at all. But feeling happy, looking on the bright side of things, that makes life a lot better, doesn't it?
Now, what is this like for your wife? I would imagine it would just be exhausting to spend any amount of time with you.
Oh, she loves it. She loves it. We have a great time around the house, we do. And I'll tell you something about my wife. She's got a great pooper.
Now, why do you have the clown tools there? Why do you have the horn and the buzzer and all that stuff?
It just makes me feel happy, that's all. Having okay. around the house, it just, you know, helps me express myself when I'm there with the wife, and I say, I think I'd like a cup of tea.
Wow.
You're not afraid that you might drive her crazy with that sound?
Oh, I don't think so at all. She loves it. When I'm not around, she misses me.
So what happens to you, Mr. Happy, when you turn on the telly at night, you see the news and you see a story about a bus crash or about somebody... What?
Oh, bus crash! Bus crash! Oh, that's a good one, mate.
What about other terrible news? Maybe your favorite soccer team loses. Doesn't that make you sad? You must root for somebody. They can't win all the time.
Football! It's a bunch of guys running around the grass. It mostly ends in a tie. That's hilarious.
What if something happened to your long-suffering wife, Kath?
Oh, Kath, I'll tell you, she's a good one. She is.
Right.
Nothing funnier than Kath. I'll tell you, sometimes, you know, last week, she slipped and fell in the bathtub. Broke a hip.
That doesn't seem terrible. Like something you should laugh at,
though. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Oh, she was screaming, oh, help me. Oh, Malcolm, help me, please pick me up. I couldn't do it, I was laughing too hard.
Oh, Mr. Happy,
she's still lying there.
Wait, that happened a week ago? And she's still lying there?
Oh, she looks so emaciated. She's dehydrated and starving to death. Oh, stop it, you're killing me. Oh, God, that's so funny.
You can't bring her some food in between laughing?
Food!
Please hang up and go call 911, please.
Oh, 911 doesn't work in England.
All right.
Oh, he's going to die. She's going to die so soon.
Oh, no.
There's going to be a rotting corpse in my apartment.
This is sad. Come on.
Oh, God, it's funny.
Mr. Happy, maybe maybe help her out.
I wish I could.
A little something.
It's just too funny.
By the way, K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013, stop number 5 is the beautiful city of Austin, Texas. That's where Austin City Limits is, don't you know, with Muse, The Cure, Queens of the Stone Age, Kings of Leon, Depeche Mode. It's a phenomenal lineup in a summer that has just been filled with them. And we're sending you to all of them here at K-Rock. We'll put you on the standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And then throughout the day at various other times, you can check K-Rock.com for all the details.
We have several stories for this next topic. And it is dressing inappropriately at work or being accused of dressing inappropriately at work. Here's one of the stories.
Too hot for employment. Lauren Odes alleges she was fired for being too hot to work at Native Intimates only 2 days after being hired.
When I was first told that I was, quote, too hot, end quote, and that my breasts were too large, I was shocked. I do not feel any employer has the right to impose their religious beliefs on me when I'm working in a business that is not a synagogue, but instead selling thongs with hearts placed in the female genital area. We should not be judged by the size of our breasts or the shape of our body.
You should, and you should be rewarded for it. That's where I come down on this.
This is a crazy story, by the way, and I know we mentioned it a few weeks ago when it was first in the news, and we were predisposed to rule against 29-year-old Lauren Odes because she hired Gloria Allred as her attorney. And generally, we want Gloria to lose all of her cases. But in this case, I mean, look, they hired her to sell lingerie, you guys. And she, the religion that she mentioned is a lot of the people who work in this company are Orthodox Jewish. They saw what she was wearing and they disapproved. She was told she was drawing attention away from others and that she should not wear the outfit that they had given her to wear for her own safety. She was told by supervisors, you are too hot for this office. In other words, she was too busty to wear the lingerie that they were selling.
She was supposed to be wearing lingerie at work?
So they put a robe on her. They made her wear a robe. They made her cover everything up because she was too hot. It was making people uncomfortable.
But why does she have to wear lingerie to work to begin with?
I don't know. It's a crazy business.
Isn't that the first part of the problem?
A, it's a they should have to wear that. And B, she should get rewarded for the boobs.
She gets to look however she looks.
Yeah, well.
It's a showroom with bras, lingerie, and other intimate clothing, and that's what they wear. And they said, but except for you. Everybody else can wear it, but you're too hot, and your boobs are too big, therefore you're not able to, therefore she's suing. So that's case number one. Case number two.
We have a traffic opening here.
Case number two is one that we talked about earlier this year also, but it is back in the news because the Iowa Supreme Court has agreed to reconsider their own ruling from earlier this year on this case. Now, when was the last time you heard of a Supreme Court saying, I know we've already ruled and we're the final authority in the state on this law, but we're going to revisit the case?
Well, does the girl have to come back before the court again?
Yeah, they just wanted to see the evidence again.
This was the case, maybe you remember us talking about a woman who was fired from a dental office because the dentist was too distracted by how attractive she was and that he said that her clothing was too tight, even though she was wearing medical scrubs. He was becoming aroused by her because she was too hot.
And then,
so he fired her, and the Iowa Supreme Court, the case went all the way to the top in the state of Iowa, and they said that it was a legal firing, that they were allowed to fire her because the dentist was uncomfortable with how hot she was.
Now, here's also, and then we're going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067 if you've been told that you were too hot for work or you were fired because you were too hot for work. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. They were, according to her, they had been working together for 10 years. It wasn't like she just working there.
That's right.
And they started texting each other outside of work, according to him. It was just random texts, which became a little more and more sexual. Hers back to him just as flirty, if you believe him. But his wife found the texts and said, this is a danger to our marriage. Maybe you should let her go.
Yeah. So there's a complicated case, certainly. But so are we looking for too hot at work or are we looking for inappropriate clothing at work?
Either one. And it could be from either side. It could be either you were told that you were too hot or you worked with somebody who was too hot. Or you employed somebody who was too hot.
Does this happen a lot to Lisa? I mean, I don't know how many different office experiences you've had, but does it happen a lot where girls are really held to a super high standard in terms of what is appropriate for the office, where they get talked to because they're showing a little bit too much cleavage or shorts
are a little too? I have a friend in a law office who they had to talk to someone because she was wearing open-toed sandals, like high-heeled sandals.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to be closed pumps.
Wow.
She couldn't have those toes showing. Which
because
like,
that was just
really?
Considered too casual, too
yes.
informal for a law office?
Yeah.
Does she work for the law office in Al-Qaeda? Does that happen?
I mean, that's really okay.
That's weird.
Right?
Look,
we've
all been lucky enough to work with attractive people. And I get that it's a super distraction. But it's not that person's fault if they're attractive.
Not at all.
No, of course not.
Now, if they're letting it all hang out.
Then they should get a bonus. That's what we're saying,
they do,
right?
And that's, you know.
So anyway, you've been told that, or you worked with somebody like that, or you employed somebody that was too hot for the workplace. I find this, most of these stories I find sort of hard to believe. Like the dental assistant, for example. You look at her, and you go, not too hot. But if she's working with him for 10 years and they start flirting.
Right.
Maybe it is too hot for him.
Right.
What about people, and Beer Mug is 3 months away from this, what about people who none of their clothes fit, everything is too tight and bulgy, and it's just gross? What about those people? Because that would be inappropriate clothing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
You're still wearing your clothes from 50 pounds ago, and you're busting out of them. I would imagine nobody wants to see that, right?
If this dental assistant was wearing scrubs that were too tight.
Mm-hmm.
you know, to highlight certain parts.
But you don't, I can't imagine ever sitting somebody down and talking to them and saying, your clothes are just too tight for you.
It must have been awkward.
We say it to Beer Mug all the time. He can't button his shorts right now.
He can't button
now.
His shorts, right.
Right, exactly.
And he tries all morning. That's distracting. That is distracting. He's all rolling around on the ground trying to get his button to close.
So we'll take a break. We'll come back with your telephone calls. Again, the toll-free number is 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for stories of too hot at work or inappropriate clothing at work. If you've been any part of an office or a business like that where a story like that has happened to you or somebody who works there, we want to hear what happens. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls in a moment right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yep. That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39.
Well, you're too busy doing a dance routine in the back of the studio to that one. How could you not? Hey, dear Kevin and Bean, Jane writes, we received a memo at our work that said we had to start covering our cleavage. Well, there's only one person in the office who has it, and she said she paid for it, so damn it, she wanted to show it. And she does, and that's what prompted the memo. We're taking calls on inappropriate clothing at work, or at least somebody says you're wearing inappropriate clothing at work, or somebody else in the office is. Or maybe you're just too hot for the office. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line two to get going with the unlikely named Andriana. Like, that's a real thing. Andriana, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's actually Adriana.
Adriana.
Well, that makes so much more sense than what they wrote up here. Thank you for that. I'm so happy to hear that. What happened to you?
A lot of times Chip comes to work drunk.
That probably was it. Back in college, I used to work at a Japanese restaurant. I'm Hispanic, and I was the only non-Asian person working in that whole restaurant.
Right.
I worked as a hostess, and they basically told me that my clothes were a little showing off a little too much. They were a little too tight.
Right.
So they changed the uniform and basically bought these oversized blouses with their logo on it for me to wear.
So, in other words, they decided they just wanted to hide your curves by changing the uniform that way.
Yeah, which I think is ridiculous. I'm the hostess. I'm the first thing people see when they walk in, and that was part of the reason why I was hired.
Mm-hmm.
If I walk into a restaurant and bump into cleavage, I'm going back.
Why do you, I mean, were the other girls uncomfortable with you wearing the outfit a little bit differently than they did?
Well, as the hostess, I was the youngest one at the front, and I was probably the only girl other than a 40-year-old woman that worked in there.
Again, I'm going to say they needed you.
Yeah, exactly. They did the wrong thing. Adriana, thanks so much for listening. Thanks, Left, for calling. Let's go to Jessica. She's on line one. She had an interesting experience as well. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
I was calling. I actually was talked to, unfortunately, by my HR rep because my clothes were fitted a little too close to my body in certain areas.
Right.
I guess other people, my director heard other men talking about me. So
they thought you were a distraction? They said that you were too distracting at work just because things were too tight on you?
Yes, and they informed me that some women have different body types, and some women can wear dresses and skirts like this because they don't have a body like me.
Ah. So. And you said, and your complaint is?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Jessica, let me ask you this. What kind of business was it? You said it was a pharmaceutical company?
Yes, it's a manufacturing plant, a pharmaceutical company.
Okay, how did you feel you looked when you got dressed and walked out the door in the morning? I mean, did you think that you looked appropriate for the workplace?
I thought I looked appropriate, yeah. Maybe my skirt could have, you know, a lot of people don't dress like that at work.
So you sort of knew that your dress was tighter than most of the people there at work and was showing off a little something.
Yeah, but most of the women there are not my age. I'm like one of the youngest ones
right.
in our group, which is late 20s. So
I wonder if, you know, it's interesting because we heard that with the last caller too. I wonder if that's where a lot of these stories come from, is just the difference in, hey, I'm 25, so I can wear this. You're 45, you can't, so you're bitchy because of it. I wonder if that's what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was hilarious how my HR was talking to me and telling me, like, well, this person has a different body type, so she can maybe wear this and it won't look like that.
That's funny.
She has a bigger bottom and a bigger bust, then it looks different on you. And I'm thinking, well, I don't think it looks bad at all.
You were thinking, yeah, it looks better.
Exactly. I actually got a lot of compliments.
Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Samantha on line four. By the way, I like this idea that I now have in my head that all of our female listeners are too hot for work.
That's correct, yes. Samantha, hi.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
I actually got in trouble because there was this guy at work that was constantly making comments about my heels, and he would say, oh, yeah, if I would kill for a girlfriend like that, that wore heels like that, and had tattoos. And it turned around that it was my fault. My boss ended up yelling at me, telling me that my heels were too high, my pencil skirts were too tight, that the whole dress code ended up changing after I made the comment that he was being too inappropriate with me.
Wow.
See, what happens, people, is the whole dress code changes.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right. And there was nothing wrong with the way I was dressed. Pencil skirts are meant to fit a little hugging, not to show too much. But according to my boss, who's in her late 40s, early 50s, thought it was inappropriate after I made the comment that this guy was being too inappropriate.
Well, you know, guys, it doesn't take much to get them all worked up.
That's true.
All three of these
stories, a woman eventually is the one that talked to him about it.
Yeah.
And this guy, he's like this big juice head. He always goes to the gym and he's always flaunting his muscles and everything like that. And so it gets to the point where you're like, okay, you need to calm down. This is work. And
everybody see Samantha's pumps, huh? Are you with me, boys?
Well, listen, Samantha, I'm glad you brought this case to the court of Kevin Bean, and we are going to absolutely rule in your favor. You keep doing what you're doing, okay?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
A lot of comedy on the program today. Of course, we're providing none of it, like usual. Joe Rogan will be here later. Also, Adam Carolla, Christopher Mintz-Plasse on the program today. And our friend Eddie Ift joins us right after the top of the hour. We love Eddie. Always great when he visits. And there's always a talking to in the boss's office immediately after Eddie leaves. So
newlywed Eddie Ift. He may be a different man now. He may have settled down. He may have cleaned up his act a little bit.
I'm just going to doubt that.
His comedy now probably now about puppies and throw pillows. And
guessing that's not the case.
Flower arrangements. I'm sure he's a much mellower Eddie Ift.
Well, we'll find out. First, though, Ralph Garman opening for Eddie Ift now with the Showbiz Beat.
I do want to remind everyone, if you're looking to be the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, we are taking applications now, so feel free to send in.
What happened to Dave, the King of Mexico?
What's wrong with Dave?
Oh, no, that's not going to work out. That's not going to work out.
What happened?
You love Dave.
I used to.
Until
this morning.
What did he do now?
Well, you know, we've got the big screen up on the wall there.
Yeah.
Where Dave can take whatever is on his computer and throw it up on the wall.
So we can watch trailers and whatnot during the meetings and stuff.
But sometimes, and we've had to slap him down before, we get things like the Panda Cam. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the bear stuck in the tree cam? Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Well, wait till you see what's on there today.
What's... come on.
Wait till you see what he's got.
What is it now?
What he is subjecting us to in the office today. It is a cam
on
an ostrich egg with a timer counting down into when they expect the ostrich egg to hatch.
Yay!
Are you watching that too, Bean?
I sent it to Dave.
Oh, see? This is the problem. If you'd like to co-host the Kevin and Bean Show, yes, we are taking applications for a new co-host and a new producer.
First of all, you're wrong. But second of all, who wouldn't want to see an ostrich being born live? Who wouldn't want to see that?
Me, I'd rather just get the recap. If you want to send me a video of it later, I'll watch 15 seconds.
You know what? I'm just going to throw it out there. This is just... I'm just spitballing here. But I'm guessing at some point the ostrich chick will peck its way through that egg and climb out of it.
And I want to see it. I want to be there when it happens.
Says the guy who hates car chases on TV, where there is actual life-threatening action going on.
You know what's on that screen? An egg.
No.
Just sitting there, an egg with a clock next to it.
Right, but you know what's going to be on that screen sometime, probably later today? A baby ostrich.
What's up?
Thank you, Dave.
It's madness. It's just sheer madness.
Oh, I hate the cams.
We are...
We could use a new producer. I'm with you on
it's
that.
It's the end times. That's what I'm saying. It's end times. It's not Christ anymore.
Let's all be more like Dave.
Let's not. Let's be less like Dave. As if that wasn't bad enough, now the troubling news coming out from several entertainment news sources that people at Warner Brothers, close to the project of the Batman versus Superman movie they got coming out in a couple years.
Right.
Talking about casting. That's all everybody's talking about. Who's going to play Batman? Who's going to play Batman? Some sites say they're offering Christian Bale like $50, $60 million to come back.
Oh, my gosh.
One more time. However, much more disturbing is this story. From a senior source at Warner Brothers, the odds-on favorite to get the part of Batman in the new film.
Right.
Orlando Bloom.
Isn't no. he a little,
Yes, he is, Kevin.
Female-ish?
A little flimsy?
Yeah.
A little light? Yeah. I will be burning some S down if that happens. If that comes to pass, there is going to be a reckoning. Hell's coming, and I'm coming with it.
That just has to be one of those fleeting rumors. That there can be nothing to that, right?
I'm telling you, S will go down if that's the case. Some heads will roll. Of all the actors on the planet, I can't think of anyone less appropriate to be Batman than Orlando Bloom. Maybe Robin. Maybe Batgirl. Yeah. Maybe Batgirl, actually.
Sure.
He'd be a good Batgirl.
The hour is coming.
Duck Dynasty returns tonight for its fourth season premiere. Duck Dynasty.
Uh-huh.
This is the show about guys who make duck decoys and
sure
duck calls.
And they do a little hunting.
And they are bearded men who enjoy ducks.
That's correct.
And it's a huge hit. And they've just renegotiated their contract with A&E. They will now receive $200,000 an episode.
Wow!
Now, keep in mind, it has to be split between the 20 family members. 9 adults and 11 kids.
Are there really 20 family members?
Yes. But it's 4 times as much as they pulled down for each of the first 3 season episodes. So I guess
guys,
they're happy.
I hate to suggest this, but does somebody need to watch that show one time on our show?
No,
should one
needs
of us
to watch that.
See it one time?
Yes, you do.
It's not for
good
me.
Good job, Bean.
Yes, you do.
You volunteered.
Very nice. You are yeah. Never, certainly not me.
You're giver.
Somebody.
You can do. You're
selfless.
You can put the ostrich egg up on one screen, and then you can put Duck Dynasty up on the other one and knock yourself out. You can just have a bird-related just video fest.
Hold on, Ralph, before you go too crazy there. Is someone moving on Duck Dynasty? Does anything happen on that show?
Apparently people do move talk, and there is some actual action.
Might be too
sounds
overwhelming.
Like too, sounds like it's too fast for me.
Too stimulating for Bean.
Yeah.
And if you are like me and you cannot wait for Anchorman 2, the legend continues this Christmas time.
Can't wait.
Here's something that might help tide you over. Random House announced the publishing of Ron Burgundy's memoir. You'll be able to get it in stores soon. Called Let Me Off at the Top, My Classy Life and Other Musings by Ron Burgundy. You'll get a glimpse into Ron's early days before he joined San Diego's Action 4 news team. He'll be sharing stories of his classy childhood and classy early years in TV journalism.
Bitchin'!
Here's the press release from Ron Burgundy himself. I don't know if it's the greatest autobiography ever written. I'm too close to the work. But I'll tell you this much. The first time I sat down and read this thing, I cried like a goddamn baby. And you can take that to the bank. So, the autobiography of Ron Burgundy coming to stories.
Maybe a stupid question, but this is not Will Ferrell, right? That wrote this?
Or no, it is. It's Will.
It is.
Everybody
he wrote
behind the,
it. Oh,
behind
okay.
the
all right, good.
The film. So, yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays: Steve Martin, legend, actor, comedian, 68 years old today. I remember the first time I saw him on stage. My father took me to see him, and it was at a small club in New Jersey when I was growing up in Philadelphia. And we got in there, and my dad. It was like a nightclub kind of deal. And my dad greased the maitre d' to get us some decent seats, and we're sitting at a table. And the guy came out on stage with a banjo and an arrow through his head. And my father said, "What kind of goddamn show is this?"
And you were thinking, "I'm in."
I'm thinking, "Woo, Steve Martin!" 68 years old today. Actress Marcia Gay Harden is 54 years old. Irvin Magic Johnson, 54 years old today as well. Halle Berry's 47. Lamorne Morris from New Girl plays Winston on that show. He's 33. Spencer Pratt is 30 years old. Mila Kunis, also 30 years old today. New England Patriots quarterback Tim Tebow turns 26. And our very own DJ Omar Khan. Khan!
DJ Omar Khan.
Celebrates his birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, everybody have their respective fingers on the button, the delay button. That I'm going to hit sometime in the next half hour, right? Mm. Everybody's cool, right?
Such a reputation you have. My God.
Ladies and gentlemen, comedian and actor Eddie Ift joins us in studio on the Kevin Bean Show. Eddie is one of our favorites, and we got a lot of tickets to move today because Eddie has signed himself up for not three, not four, not five, six shows at the Brea Improv starting tomorrow night. What's up with that, Eddie?
I like to get to know the sound man.
Is that right?
Yeah. By the end of the week, I feel like it's rude to just come in and do one show and get out of there with all that money in your pocket. I like to stick around, get to know everyone, and get a chance.
Is one of these shows always better than the rest? I mean,
there's always one horrible one.
Oh, there is. There's always a bad one.
And I'm the comedian that actually enjoys that.
Okay.
Most comedians are like, it was so bad on Thursday. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Some guy chased me around the room.
That does mix it up. I mean, look, if you go out there and do a great show five times in a row, you feel good about yourself as a comedian. Your audience is happy. But that doesn't give you something to laugh about later.
Like a
huge disaster, yeah,
especially
right?
My life. Tragedy's where I find the funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I just got married.
We're going to get to that.
Nice segue.
No. But I'm not going. I'm not going into that. I'm not that bad of a comedian. But I was just talking the other day. I said the American public, we're like, we talk more about the guy that crashed the train than the guy that built the train.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it's like that with comedy. I could do 1,000 shows like where I get a standing ovation and no one would say anything. There's one show where a guy hits me in the face with a snowball while I'm on stage. Yeah, there is. There's a show. I was on stage in Cincinnati.
Oh, that's true.
And I got like a million hits on – I was on I forget the channel it was on, but it got onto Reddit and all those things. I was on stage. It was September. And I'm on stage in Cincinnati, and a snowball hit me in the face in the middle of my show.
Who brought a snowball into a comedy show?
That was my thing. Everyone was like, weren't you upset? And I'm like, no. I was like, where'd they get the snowball in September? And my theory was, this is a guy who really hates me.
Yeah.
Because he planned in, like, February. He's
yeah,
like, when Eddie gets
in his freezer,
here.
Right?
Yeah. What it was, though, was one of the staff went into the ice cooler where they keep the beer. And made the snowball and then just decided to in the middle of the show. I've been hit twice. Three times.
Was he trying to be funny? Or what? Did he not like you?
I wouldn't get off stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They wanted you to get off stage.
I had had a lot to drink.
Right.
And let's say it was into my third hour, maybe.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And they wanted to go home. Yeah.
How does that work at the comedy clubs? You have a light or something or a timer? Or?
Yeah, and people don't know. It's a little inside thing. I might let you guys all in on it. There's a red light in the back of the room that they say to you, when do you want your – how much are you doing? You go, oh, I'm doing an hour. And they go, okay, when do you want your light? And you go, 5 minutes before.
Okay, so you know what that means.
Yeah. And but if they send me shots of tequila, my light is like, give me a two-hour light.
Right.
Yeah.
So are there times where you're just – and I know this sounds like a dumb question because you're at work. And it's very rare that I get off the air at 10 o'clock and go, man, I wish I could have done another hour. But are there times where you're up on stage, Eddie, where you're just having a – really, really good time and you kind of don't want to say goodnight?
Yeah. Yeah. One time I ate a pot cookie and I was on stage for – am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he legal. Says 15 we're, seconds after
we're,
saying
we're
it.
We're in California.
Right.
Even though it was Australia. but I the audience had been there for two shows. They had the same audience. They came back
God.
A third time. And
what?
That's why I did it. I was like, oh, no, they're all here again.
But they were for two of your shows?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm out. Like, I'm out of stuff.
Right. Did another comedian not show up?
They were just happy that I was in that town. It was
Seriously?
Like this small town. So I ate the pot cookie, and then after the show, I did like 3 hours. And I was like,
wow.
And they were like, oh, this is a good show. And I go, did they like it? And they're like, you talked about the Mach 3 Razor for like an hour. And I was like, was it funny? And they're like, we don't even have the Mach 3 Razor.
We don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know why you got into that.
We have a lot of comedians on the show, and forgive me that I don't remember which one told us this story, but Lisa, you might know. A couple of weeks ago, remember we had a guy guy on who was booked in Denver, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he was told they were changing the room out between shows and found out when he came on stage for the 10 o'clock that it wasn't the case, that it was the same show.
Yes.
And he had nothing. And he was like, hey, where are you from?
Where are you from,
and,
yeah.
Like the first three people were like, hey, we're from Denver. We're all from Denver. He's like, good night.
What a nightmare. Wait, I'm confused.
It was the same audience?
Same audience.
But they told him it would be different.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
It's not like they stayed of their own volition.
Oh, my. That would be a nightmare.
A nightmare, right?
That's the worst story I've had. Well, not the worst. I've heard a lot worse, but that's a bad one.
All right, so a little bit earlier you said you got hit by three things. One was a snowball.
Snowball, a chair.
A chair.
Chair, yeah.
Were you on Jerry Springer?
No. If this thing was filmed, I would have made a fortune. What happened there? It was at I was doing an urban college in SUNY Farmingdale, it was called, in upstate New York. Let's just say I wasn't qualified to be doing the show.
Okay.
Did they think they were hiring Eddie Griffin?
Well, that was the thing. My manager at the time booked all the Def Jam comics, and I heard him on the phone go, so this isn't a Def Jam show. And he's like, I got the perfect guy. And I wouldn't say I'm the perfect guy for a Def Jam show.
This is your manager playing a prank on you?
Former manager.
Ah.
And he booked me at a show that was really for Def Jam Comics. And I had only been doing comedy like a year. And I was excited to get the check. It was like the biggest check I'd ever gotten. And yeah, let's just say it went wrong. It went all wrong. The chair.
When did the chair arrive?
Well, the cup hit me first.
The cup first, okay.
And I snapped and said, "You're going to hit me with something. Go ahead, throw something at me." And then the guy picked up the chair and threw it at me, and that's when the snap stopped. And I went, "Well, there's going to be a riot."
Oh my God!
Did you just leave?
I couldn't because I wanted the check. And the people that ran the show were going, get off. And I'm like, where's my check?
Eddie, could you play an all black crowd now and be fine?
Oh, yeah. It's easy now. But
right.
But at the time, I had grown up in Pittsburgh and the only black people I knew, I ran track in college and I was the only white guy on the track team. And I was also the only guy in the shower with a bathing suit on. but it wasn't my thing.
Right.
And then I, working with that manager, that became my thing. But I remember I called the manager that night after it all happened. Like, they had to rush me out. They took me out a back door.
Sweet.
Yeah, they put me in a chair in a car. And the guy who drove me home was drunk. And he was driving really fast. I'm like, slow down. You're going to kill us. And he's like, you suck. And he was telling me how bad I was on the way to the train station.
Wow.
And I called my manager on the phone, and it was like Rambo. I went, I'm coming for you. Like, I literally was going to go punch him in the face. I was so angry.
Brought a chair.
When I got to the gig, they used to call it the Little Apollo.
Right.
And I was on my way there, and a comedian named Tony Woods, black comic, told me, he goes, don't go there. They're going to kill you. He's like, they're notorious for, like, those crowds just kill the comic. Like,
right.
They abuse them. He's like, you're dead. And I was like, no, I want this money. And he's like, it's not worth it.
You did not listen to him, and you should have.
And I
was it worth it?
Well, I walked up to the door, and the security guard, they had bouncers for the show. And he goes like this. He goes, yeah, what are you doing? I go, I'm the comic. And he goes, you're the comic. I'm quitting.
Oh, my God. Everybody told you.
Got nothing but warnings.
Hey, like you said, those are the memorable shows that you could laugh about for the rest of your life, the ones that don't go the way you hope. Eddie Eft is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He'll be on stage at the Brea Improv tomorrow night, then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and Sunday night as well. You can get tickets at BreaImprov.com, and you should. More with Eddie after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
On the Pomona Freeway to 60 westbound beyond Mountain Avenue, wreck is off to the right shoulder. It's slow and go from before Grove.
Slow
Avenue.
And grow, yeah.
Slow and grow. That's Kevin. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
At 7:25.
Eddie Eft is here, one of our very favorites. You must see him at the Brea Improv this week. He's starting tomorrow night with six big shows tomorrow night, and then two on Friday, two on Saturday, and then one on Sunday, BreaImprov.com. I went to see Jerry Lewis a couple of months ago.
Mr. Really?
Eft. Well, he was playing in Tacoma, and I thought he's a comedy legend.
Wait a minute, you actually left the island,
right?
But only for something
Tacoma's
weird.
Tacoma's not far
to go see Jerry Lewis.
Only
I did.
For something weird.
And the only reason I bring it up is because, well, first of all, just 10 more seconds on why I went is because he's not going to be around for much longer, and I want to see him in person. You know, I mean, how often he doesn't do live shows very often anymore.
He's never been funny to me. Like, I've never seen him do anything funny. Doesn't mean he's not, but I just haven't had that experience.
He used to be one of the most popular comedians and actors in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, for a number of years. Well, anyway, I went to see him. And the only reason I bring this whole thing up, and I apologize for the long, boring setup, is that multiple times during the evening, he started a joke and forgot how it ended.
Oh, I've done that. I've done that.
And
you've done
it was
that
so it was so sad to see, because he's so old, it was so sad to see a guy up there just struggling so much to try to remember how this story went. And with a guy like you, especially, I know you change the act up a lot, and you're always, you do more new stuff than most comedians do. That has to happen. Tell me about that, because I can't imagine any more terrifying on stage.
I have usually you have a closer that's a long joke. Sometimes they're like 5 minutes, 10 minutes long. And every year I have a new closer that's like a 10-minute story. Last week I was in Tahoe doing shows, and I decided to do a closer early, like an old closer early in the show. And about a minute into the story, I remembered I forgot a crucial part of the story.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's like the worst joke teller ever,
they
right?
weren't the guy that said, hold on, I got to go back. And
that then turns it from like this really funny joke to the most misogynistic, horrible thing in the world. So the rest of the story, I'm going in my head, I'm talking, but I'm going, How do I fix?
Because
I know the
punch, that in
I know the punchline's going to make the entire audience leave. You know, like they're just going to walk out of here. Like he's a horrible human being. So, but I'm feeling this for 10 minutes, and I'm like, I'm in. You don't just stop and be like,
wow,
no, that's this and that. And that's why the frog died.
So, and you have to kind of own it. You still have to kind of, you know, make it showbiz, pizzazz it up. You can't just throw it away and move on to something else.
No,
there's just a big giant dead spot in the middle of your act.
Yeah, I don't mind those. I get a lot of those. Sometimes it's a whole show. No, but I like being on that type wire and not knowing what's going to happen. So I never have an order. I go on TV shows and they hate that. They always want.
You never have an order? You never know what's.
Very, very, very rarely. Even when I did my Comedy Central special, I jumped around and do different things.
Why do you do it that way?
It keeps me fresh and fun. Otherwise, I'm so bored. I feel like I'm an actor. If I'm doing it, mm-hmm. you know, by
same
road.
Order,
yeah, same
right,
every
right.
time. So I like the spur of the moment.
Then,
I feel like you have to feel people out. But like last night, there was a guy who proposed to his wife on stage before I went on, and I went on right after after the proposal, and I was like, that would have been really funny if she said no.
Correct.
And I was like, that would have been the greatest night ever. Like after that, you go, thank you, good night, everyone. That's the best. But then I said, I go, you look too young to get married. You probably both do meth, and you're from Bakersfield. And they're like, we are from Bakersfield. And then I go, smile. And the guy had no teeth.
Yep.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, wow, you do meth. And then it's like, then I got to start the show. I'm like, okay.
All right, everybody,
here we go.
Let's try and reset.
Yeah.
you mentioned being on talk shows. When you do, and I don't know which shows you've done, but you do, you know, Fallon or Kimmel or whatever, they have a pre-interview where they want the host to kind of know, all right, Eddie's going to be on, and here's thing one to ask, here's thing two, here's thing three. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's pretty much when you do panel. I've never done Kimmel. Jimmy used to talk to me about doing the show all the time, and then he never had me on. And
he's too big now. His show's too popular now.
That's what happened.
That's what it is.
When nobody would do it, I get emails from him going, when are you doing my show?
And did you?
I've never done
Kimmel. How about
Kimmel.
That?
Huh. Never,
well, I wonder
ever.
Why he doesn't invite you anymore.
He's on at 11:30 now, man. You got to be at least Jennifer Aniston to get on that show now.
It's funny. I do clean shows. Like I've done, like my Comedy Central special had to be completely clean. They play it all day long. And I'm not, like they even said, you're an all play. I've done countless TV shows where I've done them clean. I don't prefer to. I don't enjoy it. And I think censorship is stupid, but we live in America where this is a Christian society. And
but I was asking you about the pre-interview. For a guy who's as spontaneous as you are, you don't want to know what the first three questions are going to be in an interview.
That's why I like this show. Most radio shows you go to around the country, they're like, okay, so do you have a list of stuff for us to ask you? And I'm like, no, maybe you should learn how to interview people. And they're always like, do you have any bits you want to give us? There's a certain show in the middle of America where they just, you write down bits.
Hey, we've had comedians that can't do anything but bits.
It's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. They come in and they have to figure out a way to get into their act or they can't have a conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, speaking of that, I got married recently.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a break before we find out that you actually got a woman to marry.
And by the way, that poor woman, right? I mean, let's all pause for a moment for her dignity, right?
She she's losing it already. Yeah. I'm not kidding. It's not going to last. There's no way.
At least you got your eyes open and you go in knowing that. Eddie Ift is here. We got to take a break. We'll come back more. Brea Improv, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. BreaImprov.com. See you in a moment here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie Ift, have you heard that song before? That Lord song we just played?
I have. You know, that's
number one song on K-Rock right now. She's 16 years old.
I know. That's my jam.
Just had her on the show. She was in studio with us last week. The interview's up at krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you want to listen to that. Eddie Ift is here. Brea Improv. It's going to be tomorrow night. Also, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets available through breaimprov.com. Did you mention on or off the air that your marriage is doomed? You're a newlywed, and there's no way it's going
to
last.
That was my wedding song. I walked down the aisle to that song.
She knew what she was getting into, though, didn't she?
She knew what she was getting into. Her dad's crazy. I've told you about her dad. Her dad played in the NFL for 7 years, and he's a crazy man. He got us almost kicked out of the wedding. Like, he was partying so hard at the wedding. Like, he plays in a band, and he's like the best father-in-law in the world. Like, I might leave her, but I'll stay with him.
How long have you been married?
We've been married like 2 weeks.
How long do you think you will be married?
If it's up to her, it could end this week.
But there can't be anything that has happened in 2 weeks that wasn't happening before you guys got married.
Well, I don't think she'll ever really leave me, but I push it.
you want to see where the line is.
When we were watching, like a couple months ago, we were watching the Jodi Arias sentencing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't know anything about it. And she's watching it and she goes, oh my God, I can't believe this girl would do this.
Right.
Why would she ever do this when she could have just stayed with him for the rest of his life and inflicted so much more pain?
Oh, wow. So that's what you have to look for.
Yeah, that's my wife.
What does she think about – sorry to interrupt. What does she think about – because on your very popular podcast available on iTunes, you have the craziest people come over to your house where you tape this thing. What's that that you have a person in the house with you?
I think Nick Swartzen's in the house still.
We had
Nick,
that right?
Yeah, we had him there Monday night. And sometimes the party just keeps going and they stay.
So he slept on the couch?
He actually had Jim Jeffrey's old bedroom. That's okay. Where he slept. Yeah. It's something about that room. Steve Byrne lived there. Jim Jeffries lived there.
I wouldn't want to go anywhere after Jim Jeffries.
No.
I agree.
We went in hazmat suits. I'm not kidding.
Wasn't Andy Dick there for like a week?
Andy Dick, it was 3 days, and we had to call his manager to come get him. We're like, can you get Andy out, please? And we'd be like, Andy, what are you doing here? He's like, I can't find my car.
Now, what does your wife think when someone sleeps over?
Well, it's okay if it's not prostitutes. So, but
then she gets a little uptight.
She's uptight. She's pretty cool. The one time she snapped, we had Kenny Hotz from Kenny versus Spenny on Comedy Central over.
Right.
And we did a thing where we took I did a lie detector with all the guys that work on the show.
Okay.
And it's a great game. You should do this. I asked them all questions. Like things like, have you ever stolen from me? Because they all have like a credit card.
Oh. Love it.
I said, have you ever pleasured yourself thinking about my wife? You know, like things like the most intimate, worst questions. And then I didn't get to see the results, but I got to challenge them. Like if they said no and I thought they were lying, I got to see the results.
Oh,
and whoever lost had to do something horrible like the cinnamon challenge or like eat a jalapeno pepper and one of the things was beer boarding. And they tied
waterboarding with beer.
With beer, okay. Which is awesome. We should do it to them because they don't like alcohol. So
it'll get them to loosen up and talk.
Two birds with one stone. So they tied me down to a surfboard. put me upside down, put the towel over my face, and was pouring beer on my face. And I hear my wife go, "That's it!" And she just starts storming out of the house. And they're like, "Dude, you're at the time we were engaged." They're like, "You just lost your fiance." I'm like, "Hurry up, pour the beer."
I can take a few more seconds.
I have the video on YouTube. You can see the video of them beer boarding me. But so they're doing it, and she left. She left and took the dogs.
Right.
And didn't come back for a day.
It was a dress rehearsal for a week from now.
Yes. And she came back. She came back the next day, and we, like, talked it out and everything. And I go, "Oh, that was sweet." I go, "You were just worried I was going to die." And she goes, "No, I wasn't. I was mad they were using the good towel." She goes, "I was going to kick you right on the way out."
Now, most of you guys who are podcasting now, like, like Mark Maron, Joe Rogan, you guys do it in your house. I mean, because it's just more convenient for you.
Yeah, but most of those guys do an interview where they just talk. The first thing I do is I have a whole bunch of interns. I mean, we call them the Mongs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We met the Mongs. We know.
Yeah. And I'm like, "Oh, yeah." And I'm like, "Get to Costco. See how much alcohol you can buy. Use the big trolley." And then the comics come over to the house. And we have a lot of favorites like Lachlan Patterson and Gene Pompa and this guy Yoshi. I don't know if you've ever met Yoshi. Oh, my God.
I've heard him.
I don't think I've never.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah. And they're all actually going to be on the show with me at Brea this week because we're inviting all the fans out. And it just gets –
That can't be good for your marriage.
No, I know. But it's like I only do it one night a week.
That's it? Just one night a week?
One night a week on Mondays. And she's like, "You're like binge drinking on Mondays." Like, it's like – I don't have a drink all week, and I'm just like, "Save it for Monday."
Can't she join like some sort of a ladies' knitting club or something and just be out of the house on Mondays?
She just said to me, "You're going to have to get me a hotel room every Monday."
Well, there you go.
Really?
Maybe that's your answer.
Yeah. So
that's the solution.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get
her. But then if people are spending the night, if Nick Swanson is still there, then you're going to need to get her a hotel room for a second night.
Well, she came in one night, and I had all the interns with their shirts off having a hot dog eating contest. And I was watching them. They had to watch gay porn.
Gay porn. I remember that one, yeah.
And she just walked in. She's like, "No, they're getting hot dogs everywhere, and the dogs are eating it." It's always
good.
All
right, well, two pieces of advice for you. One is start hiring a cleaning crew to come in Tuesday
we have
morning
that.
First. Okay,
good. They're called the Mongs.
Okay, all right, good.
Clean up their own mess.
And then come back and clean. And then two is you got to start hiring some female interns. That's what the show needs.
No, we've looked at our analytics or whatever it's called of our audience. We only have 15% are women. And those women, I think, are all in prison.
Well, that's possible, but doesn't that mean that your audience would appreciate hot chicks coming over? That's what we're saying.
We have had a chick.
We're trying to help ruin your marriage here.
Yeah. Well, we...
Because we just put an office pool together on when it's going to bust up.
We're the only show that's offended porn stars. We had a porn star walk off the show. She was so upset.
Wow.
Yeah, like she...
And that takes some doing.
It was Jim Jefferies.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
But it was... we have a couple, though, that come in there. They have a good time. Hey, we have some girls. We have girls on every once in a while. I mean, it's...
Hey, Bean, let's put together a pool after he leaves, for real.
I'm serious.
For real.
We totally are going to put together an office pool. You don't have kids together, right?
No, I'm trying right now. I'm ready to go. I'm ready
to
go.
You want a kid?
Yeah, I do. I want... That's
nope.
No, don't do it.
Nope. Nope.
There's got to be a board somewhere that can turn that down.
Yeah, we will not allow it. I'm sorry. We're going to put our foot down right there.
If Jim Jefferies can have a kid, I can have a kid.
Well, it's hard to argue with that.
He shouldn't have done that either.
That's solid logic. That's a mistake from him.
Eddie Ift is here. You can get the podcast on iTunes. I can't say the name of it, which was, again, a brilliant marketing plan. But if you just put in Eddie Ift in iTunes, it'll come up. And it's a great podcast. You can see Eddie on stage at the Brea Improv. It's going to be tomorrow night, then Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, BreaImprov.com. By the way, you and all those guys you mentioned – only $15 for tomorrow night.
Yeah,
only $17 over the weekend. Pretty good deal.
I have a big special coming up. I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Is this a rehearsal?
I'm doing something really special. I'm doing an hour special, and it's going to come out not like any other specials ever come out. And it's going to be pretty cool, interesting thing that I'm doing. And I'm just not allowed to talk about it right now.
What is it?
Well,
it might be being taped in Seattle.
Oh, there you go.
So I won't see it in person?
No, I won't look. Okay. Nobody would enjoy beer boarding more than Bean. I think he would really love that.
Bean will helicopter you in.
The headline of this post when we put it up on KevinandBean.com is going to be Eddie Eft comes out in a way no one's ever come out before, the way you just described that. All right, Eddie, great to see you, my friend. Thanks
for
coming
having me, guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Joe Rogan Questions Everything is the name of his new show, and we'll talk to him about that coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph joins us for another Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning.
You know what's happening now?
What?
Now Beer Mug is panhandling for food.
Yeah, yeah.
He's panhandling for extra change so he can go down the hall to the vending machine and get more food.
Lisa, do you have 20 cents?
He's like a hobo. He's like a bum. He's panhandling for spare change so he can go get more food out of the vending machine after having had half a box of cookies this morning.
Yeah.
What's up?
Last half hour, he was on my chair, leaned over with his head down, and I couldn't get my chair away from him. And he just told us a second ago it's because he was having heartburn, and he literally couldn't move.
So then he had to get more food to shove
so
down.
So then he borrowed money from Lisa and went and got more food.
Acidic Gullet.
Yeah. Yes.
Acidic Gullet, by the way.
It's a good band.
So I'm at the Troop. Good stuff.
Is he going to survive this year? Is he going to be alive? Forget working for the show. Is he going to be alive in 2014?
But you know what this has become? This is like, I had a friend of mine once who had a bad drug problem. And our mutual friend said, don't invite him to your house anymore.
Yeah.
Because he'll steal from you. If he does anything, he will steal it and he will sell it on the cheap just to get money to buy drugs. That's the stage Beer Mug's at now with food.
Yeah.
He has no money of his own anymore. I don't know what happened, but now he will beg, borrow, or steal in order to go get more food.
And he's not as fat as we make him sound. A lot of people, when they see a picture, they go, oh, he's not that fat. He's not that fat. He's really unhealthy.
Yeah.
He's 99% unhealthy.
He's just a big, gooey, doughy blob.
What would be a nice meal that you guys would prepare me nutritious?
Yeah, nutritious.
Fire Beer Mug.
It's not going to have to.
Go down the hall to the vending machine, get more Snickers bars. You bastard. All right, let me give away some tickets. Let me scrub that visual out of your mind by giving you something nice. We're doing a very special K-Rock advance screening of a hilarious new movie called The World's End.
Yay!
It's director Edgar Wright returning with his usual gang of hilarious cronies, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, who always work with him. You've seen him in Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. This time they're adding Martin Freeman, who I love, from the original Office.
Lord of the Rings.
The British Office.
And oh, right. Or The Hobbit, I guess.
Yeah. He was also in Love Actually, a very funny guy. Rosamund Pike also stars. It's about five friends who reunite in an attempt to recreate their glory days. They recreate a pub crawl that they all took part in 20 years earlier and unwittingly become humankind's only hope for survival as the world literally ends around them. If you'd like to go see this movie, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Five winners will get a pair of tickets to attend, and then you also get access to the World's End pub party at Ye Olde King's Head after the screening. So it's a good time. It's happening on the 22nd, Thursday the 22nd. That's next week. And then the movie's in theaters everywhere on the 23rd. If you don't win, you can check it out. Forbes magazine, which apparently now only serves the function of making lists about rich people.
Yeah,
I don't know this magazine, but it seems like all they do is compile lists of people who will make much more money than you will ever make in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And your family will make in your lifetime, and your parents, and combined. Ever.
Everyone you know.
This week's list, best-selling authors. Who's the richest best-selling author?
Gotta be J.K. Rowling, right?
Pish.
No?
Pish posh.
Patterson?
Patterson, by the way, good guess, Lisa, knocked off the top of the spot for the first time in 3 years.
Dan Brown?
Knocked out of the top.
Dan Brown, great guess, Kevin.
Well, let me go through
Sue Carlton?
It. Hey, Dave, just relax.
Snooki?
J.K. Rowling, by the way, slipped to 15th place this year.
Wow.
Because no Harry Potter book last year,
exactly,
I guess.
Exactly, Bean, exactly. She earned just $15 million from her adult novels.
That's all.
Not doing as well as the Harry Potter. Just 15 million. Made her 15th on the list. Here's your top 10 best-selling authors. Stephen King, of course.
Oh, right.
Perennial.
Oh,
yeah. Perennial, yeah. Stephen King.
Yeah,
who writes a book as often as Beer Mug eats.
Yes.
Yeah.
He just cranks out a book.
True.
$20 million.
It sounds like a joke, but he literally some years puts out three full-size books.
And they're enormous, most of them.
Yeah.
Yes, and enormously detailed, and just he's a freak of nature.
Yeah.
10th on the list. $20 million is what he made the past year. Via his writings. Dan Brown, as you mentioned, of course, the man who gave us Freaks and Infernos, Angels and Diamonds, I don't know, whatever those books are. $22 million, number 9. Nora Roberts, 23. Mm-hmm. Right. Janet Ivanovich,
Ivanovich, yeah.
Ivanovich. She does those...
I don't know her.
Stephanie Plum
yeah,
series.
Yeah, that broad who's the bounty hunter yeah. series.
These are all the books that you see on every airplane ride you
You're
take.
Right.
These are the books that people are reading.
And they're in the rack at the front of the store at the airport where right. they sell books because these are the ones that fly off the shelves. She made $24 million. Jeff Kinney made $24 million also, number six on the list. Danielle Steele, those horrible romance novels that she writes, in the past year have made her $26 million.
Jeez. Wow.
Bill O'Reilly, who talks just about killing nice people. Killing Lincoln, killing Jesus. He's always just killing somebody. Killing Elvis.
Killing Kennedy, right?
Yeah, killing Kennedy.
I don't think he's killing
Killing Captain
anyone.
Kangaroo. He just kills people. $28 million. Suzanne Collins, $55 million. James Patterson, as Lisa guessed, is usually number one on the list. He's another guy who writes about a book a week. He only made $91 million.
Wow,
that
jumped
the past year.
And
writing his books.
Number one.
Not number one.
Who
indeed, Lisa?
Is it the guy that does the Jack Reacher books?
No.
Okay.
It is not. When I say it, you'll go, oh, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. But you haven't guessed it yet, so you won't go, oh, yeah, yet.
Gosh. I mean, reading is for That's losers, so I don't feel too bad for not
right.
knowing, but
Books are dead, but right. still. Think of the biggest book of the past couple of years, by far. Biggest book, monster book, pop culture phenomenon.
Oh, Stephanie Meyer.
50 Shades?
50
oh,
Shades,
50
Kevin,
Shades.
Exactly.
Oh,
E.L. James, who wrote 50 right. Shades of Grey. She made $95 million.
What? They're not that well written,
No, it's mommy porn. It's just, ooh, the dreamy man tied me up with his silk tie. And, ooh, Christian had a three-day growth of beard rubbing against my bosom.
She's number one.
Number one.
And everybody that's read it says they're not that well written.
Right.
But they're fine with it.
But it's great spanking material. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't think you know what I'm
it's
saying.
Very clear.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tim Tebow from your New England Patriots. He's the quarterback for that team.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's going to start.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Tom Brady, whatever. Tim Tebow.
Gone.
That's the way to go. 26 years old today. TV personality and professional douchebag Spencer Pratt is 30 years old today, as is the lovely and talented Mila Kunis. She's 30. Lamorne Morris.
And you know her, right?
I do know Mila,
like,
yes.
Like, personally, you know Mila Kunis.
She will say hello to me when she sees me. That's how tight we are.
She's the coolest chick in the world.
She is super sweet, down to earth, could not be funnier, nicer, kinder.
Yeah, she's pretty much perfect.
She's a good deal right there. She's 30 years old today. Lamorne Morris. Winston from New Girl is 33 years old. Halle Berry's 47. Magic Johnson is 54 years old today, as is actress Marcia Gay Harden, who's been great on The Newsroom this season. And Steve Martin, 68 years old today. And let's not forget, DJ Omar Khan celebrates his birthday today.
DJ Omar Khan.
Happy birthday, Omar. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our pal Adam Carolla joins us in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Christopher Mintz Plotz returns just after 9 o'clock talking about his role in the upcoming Kick-Ass 2. Love him. Can't wait for that. I also love our next guest, Joe Rogan, who is back on the TV hosting his own show, Kevin. You'll be happy to know that nobody has to eat camel ass to be on this show, which I think is very refreshing. Hey, Joe, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I would like to correct that rumor. You have to eat camel ass, but we just don't talk about it.
All right. So it's behind-the-scenes things.
That's right. Joe Rogan Questions Everything is the name of the show. It airs Wednesday nights at 10. Hey, that is tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel. Congratulations on getting the show on. I mean, you talk about something that's just like tailor-made. Like, if anyone comes to you and says, what's the perfect show for Joe Rogan to do, this would be it, right?
Maybe, yeah. Well, it's definitely been interesting, and it was something that we kind of created based on my interest in bizarre and stupid things.
Right.
But it's been fun. A lot of work. I shouldn't say a lot of work, because then, you know, coal miners out there will be screaming, you don't know.
A lot of time.
Yes, it's tricky, but it's been a lot of fun.
Now, the first one you did, I think, was about Bigfoot, right?
Yeah.
Now, I watched that one, and you went to a lot of experts.
That's a funny word to use.
Yes, and a lot of people like have PhDs and stuff like that. Still, yeah. Pretty much all crackpots.
Well, except for Dr. Jeff Meldrum, who's a legit PhD in anthropology and an expert in human movement. And he's like one of the few legitimate people, other than Jane Goodall, who also believes, without a doubt, she says, that Sasquatch is a real animal.
During that episode, Joe, you said the following words, and I want to challenge you because I think this is a lie. I would rather see Bigfoot than be able to fly.
Well, it depends.
That's crazy.
On, like, how long I could fly for.
Okay, well, that makes a difference.
I mean, if I could, like, do it Superman style all day long, yeah, I would take that.
That's what
for
I thought.
Sure. But if it was, like, a brief moment of seeing Bigfoot or a brief moment of being able to fly around, I would take seeing Bigfoot.
You wanted to believe that so much.
Oh, yeah, I'm a retard. I shouldn't say that because it's cruel to actual people with disease. But
that's right. Beer Mug's not even listening right now.
Yeah, I have real issues.
You have issues. You really, really, really want Bigfoot to be real.
Primate issues. I mean, we've discussed this on the show before. That's I have real issues with animals, and I have issues with perception, like how I view other animals. I view them very different in a lot of ways than most people do.
Right.
Because I spend so much time on the internet high out of my mind.
Yep. Right, right.
But the Sasquatch one, for whatever reason, has always been incredibly near and dear to my heart. So that was one of the main reasons I wanted to do this show, was to be able to go Sasquatch hunting.
Right, and you talk, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you get into a little bit on your podcast, and you certainly have guests on your podcast to address these issues, you really get to go in detail with the power of the Sci-Fi Channel behind you, and you get to go out and interview lots of people. Like, for instance, you talked to some heavy-duty minds on the RoboSapien episode that was on last week, right?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, people that normally, like, if they just did a quick Google search of me, really wouldn't want to sit down and talk to me. You know, it'd be like, oh, yeah, that cage fighting commentator pothead dude. Yeah,
right.
Let me talk to him about future technology. That sounds like a good idea.
Tell me about how your mind got blown with the things that you were able to do, though, when they hooked up those sensors to your head. Because that, I mean, that stuff I'm still thinking about.
Yeah, there's a company called Emotive in San Francisco, and they have EEG, electroencephalogram powered spaceships and helicopters and all these different, like, little remote control toys that you would use. Like, they you can power them with your mind. It's not power them, rather, but control them with your mind. It's really incredible, like, what's on the horizon as far as what you can do with your mind and EEG. They can, and that's, it's a very crude form of controlling things with your mind. Once they decide to use implants and decide to use nanobots and things that penetrate into the actual tissue of the brain itself, things are going to get very, very strange. They can control cursors with the mind now. Well, it could be paralyzed, and you can use a computer and stare at the screen and move a cursor around and click on typewriters and write sentences. Really, really incredible stuff. And really only the beginning, because the ultimate goal for a lot of these folks is to be able to create a robot version of themselves and pilot that with their minds.
Thinking, yeah. And I think more than one person said this, thinking that as they could download their essence, so to speak, into this robot and live forever.
Yeah, well, if not live forever, become something new. What really gets weird when you start talking about technology is not the idea of creating a robot or creating a spaceship. What's really weird is the idea of creating an entirely new species of human beings that are not just symbiotically connected with technology, but become a new thing because of technology. Like, the idea is, there's a guy named Marshall McLuhan, who is a very famous psychedelic writer from the 60s and the 70s, and he has this amazing quote, that human beings are the sex organs of the machine world. And the idea is that we don't even know what we're doing, but that we are, in fact, by our obsession with technology and technological innovation, we are giving birth to the next form of life. And that form of life will be an artificially created intelligence. And that what we're doing right now is just the training wheels, the baby steps of this, by creating smartphones and laptops and then dabbling with artificial intelligence. One day, we will give birth to a sentient life form, and a new type of life. And type of life will be the future.
Are you sad like I am that I am born in and living in this century rather than in 200 years from now when...
Oh, our phones just died.
Oh.
Are you serious?
Whole system went dead.
That's how the government gets to you when you start talking about sending
penis photos and email, and it all went right to hell.
Everything's gone. We lost him. I'm so bummed out by that. I was so enjoying that conversation with Joe. Well, the program is great.
Can get it back here. Let's try real
quick. It's called Joe Rogan Questions Everything.
Hey, Joe.
Nope.
Sorry. Joe Rogan questions everything. Continue, B.
Tonight at 10 on Sci-Fi and every Wednesday night. Next time we have Joe on, I want to talk about how crazy he is driving the conspiracy theorists out there. By just asking the questions, you should see the comments that he's getting from people who are just furious that he's asking some of these questions rather than just wholeheartedly believing every crazy thing that's on the internet.
Love it. We'll have him in again and talk to him next. Again, it is Joe Rogan questions everything tonight and every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock on Sci-Fi.
Don't forget, K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013. We're sending you to Austin City Limits in Austin. Get on the standby boarding list to see that great festival. That's also coming up just after 9 this morning.
So Bean yesterday says, guys, I'm really upset. And after about 30 seconds, somebody went, why? The manager at my Denny's left for a one in Spokane and didn't even check with me.
How would you even know the manager? Like, I have favorite places I go, and I couldn't tell you in a million years who the manager was, especially at a place like Denny's.
Look, great question. Hear my whole thing. And I know you guys always accuse me of being OCD or of having Asperger's, and I don't.
You do.
But I do like things to be a certain way, and I'm more comfortable when things stay the same. I like things to be the same in my life.
Right,
I
but
like
that guy is a human being who also likes things to be the way he wants them to be. He's not there for your entertainment.
Unacceptable, because now I go in there and there's a different dude running the Denny's, and I don't know what kind of changes that's going to mean for me. You know how crazy people get sometimes? They start changing menus and start changing decor and hours and lights and fixtures and brand of coffee. I don't want things to change. I like my Denny's the way it is. I like going in every week at the same time and sitting in the same seat and ordering the same thing, and it's comfortable for me.
Right. You'll get used to the new manager.
Now, all of a sudden, he not only left, it's hard. It's bad enough for me that Victor's gone, and that sucks.
You know what I mean?
I didn't get a chance to say goodbye.
You know what? If he wanted you to get a chance to say goodbye, you would have gotten it.
He's seen me every week for years.
Right.
It would it have killed
what a him? Nightmare.
Maybe you ran him off.
Would it have killed him to say, hey, Bean, thinking about transferring to the Spokane store, what do you think of that?
Then why would he ever do that?
Courtesy?
No!
It's a little something called courtesy.
You're just a dumbass customer that shows up every Tuesday. You must drive him crazy. You might be the reason he left.
It hurts me. I'm just saying I feel a little hurt. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think we tracked him down in Spokane.
What? What are you talking about?
I think we found there's only three of them in Spokane, so we called them to try and get a hold of your Victor. Yes.
No. Are you serious?
To give you a chance to talk to him, of course. Victor?
It's Denny's. Carl speaking. Can I help you?
Hi, Carl. I'm sorry. I thought we were talking. Is Victor there?
How did you get that name?
Victor.
Victor, is this you? Oh. Victor, it's me, Bean.
God damn it.
You changed your name when you moved to this book.
You go with Carl now?
Hi, Bean. How's it going?
Hi, Victor. What's going on, buddy? I miss you.
How'd you get this number?
Well, there's only three of them, and
apparently our producer Dave just called around and found out what store that you'd been transferred to. How do you like it out there?
It's great. Can I do something for you?
Well, I miss you. I miss the opportunity to chat with you like we do every Thursday when I come in.
That voice, that goddamn voice. I thought I was free. I thought I was finally free.
I'll answer this question. Is Bean the reason you transferred stores?
Of course it is.
That's what I thought. Wait a minute. Why would
somebody coming in every week?
Yeah.
Do you guys still have Moons Over by Hammy? Every goddamn week. The same goddamn menu in every goddamn Denny's across America. Yeah, we have it. Someone's in my seat. When will that be open? I don't know. Wait until they're done, and then you'll see if it's open or not.
Victor, I thought you would appreciate, in these tough economic times, a regular customer. You can count on my $11 every Thursday. Come on.
I will give you $11,000 never to come into another Denny's.
Victor, he wanted to talk about your move with you and really discuss it.
You're the reason I left. I left my wife and my kids.
What?
I changed my name. I changed my face. I had plastic surgery. Just to get on with my life. Just to move on. So I'd never have to listen to you again. Did you know it's 100 degrees in Alaska today? It was this or take my own life.
Oh, no.
You left your wife and kids and had plastic surgery.
I had to go into witness relocation.
Oh, man.
And now, Phil, you haunt me.
I'm sorry.
You
we didn't
haunt me like a cancer, eating me from inside my ears into my brain.
No.
Won't stop. I hear that. I can't sleep at night. I keep hearing that ringing in my brain. When will it end?
Victor, I apologize. We didn't know that you were this upset.
Wrong with you people? What do you want from me?
If
what do you want from me?
If
oh,
I leave,
dear God, at long last, what do you want?
Poor Victor. If I leave now, I can be there for dinner at 4 p.m. Victor, I'll see you today, buddy.
The only answer is the shotgun.
No,
please don't do
Victor,
that.
Victor, don't do that.
Goodbye,
Victor.
Denny.
No. Don't hang up. Don't lose your whole...
We're going to hang up. We're going to let you get back to work. Victor, we apologize for interrupting you.
Oh, no.
Bean.
Oh, Victor.
No one wants this.
Victor? No one seems to be reacting to a gunshot in this restaurant.
No.
That's at Denny's. They're used to it.
I didn't need to hear or think about the Earth's blood. What's happening here? What's going on? I thought I was buying a car.
Nope. Just trying to save the economy, Bean.
$1,164,524 is where Adam Carolla was at when we started the show this morning. Just 5 days to go on the campaign. You can go to fundanything.com/Adam Carolla if you want to help Adam make the best goddamn movie that's ever been made. Of course, the Ace Man is a comedian and radio host and the world's most successful podcaster. He joins us every week at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Adam. How's it going, buddy?
Couldn't be better, my friend. Get it on.
You and Bryan Cranston have become like best friends now. You're hanging out with that guy all the time. That must be so awesome for you as a Breaking Bad fan.
Well, you know, to be fair, I did have the... He called in the last time I talked to him. And I'm sure you guys know this heartache. Because the last time I spoke to him, he said, well, I got to go to Boston, and I got to go to New Mexico, and I got to go to New York. And then I said, well, can you call into the podcast?
Right.
He lives in the San Fernando Valley, by the way.
Right.
And when he called in, the first thing I said was, where are you calling from now, Brian? He said, I'm at home. Great. That's 2.5 miles from where I'm sitting.
Yep. But show business is glamorous.
Yes. He is a mensch, as the Jews would say. And, there's a sort of three-parter on the... on the site. If you want to go to YouTube, you can check it out, or you can go to Fund Anything and check it out. And you can tell why he's a great actor just doing these little sketches.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely check that out at adamcarolla.com, and don't miss the latest video podcast with comedian Jim Norton, too, which was very, very funny. Adam is here now, as he does, for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage!
Well, starting at 3 and working my way up to number 1. First, had this happen. I think you guys have all had this, where you're slowly and cautiously backing out of a driveway, but there's a van or a cube truck or something parked to one side, and you can't see the oncoming traffic. And you see somebody coming, you immediately hit the brake, and you stop, and they go past you without any incident.
Right.
But you get this move, the slow down with the head shake.
The disapproving look?
Yes, like what kind of animal would attempt to back out of his driveway during the daylight hours? No traffic cone, no motorcycle cops stopping traffic, no third party in an orange vest with a flashlight.
Seems pretty risky.
Him on. Just solo, willy-nilly, at the breakneck speed of 0 miles an hour,
yeah.
Attempting to back out of his own driveway. And then... I like it when the head shake continues well beyond even your view, where you see the guy going down the road with the residual head shake. You know, the guy, he keeps it going until he's a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
Who is that? At that point, by the way, aren't you just confusing people that are walking their dogs or picking up garbage by the side of the road? Like, why are you shaking your head at me, old man?
Should I stop picking up trash?
What shall I do? There's a mailman. There's a gardener. Why is he disapproving of what I'm just trying to put food on my table. I'm a working man. The disgusted head shake that goes off past the curvature of the earth.
Yeah.
That guy, like, oh, man. Not only did he attempt to back out of his own driveway, but I am just going to be who knows, by the way? He may be shaking his head well into his work day.
That's true.
He may be working at a Kinko's in a funeral home and sitting there 4 hours later still shaking that head.
Wait, there's a Kinko's in a funeral home?
So I'm saying either one.
Oh, I see.
Although it would be smart to put them on top of each other. I just feel like, well, anyway. Next, here's the person. Now, you guys tell me, do you love this person or do you hate this person? Because right. I am putting together a list of people who I think I hate, but I'm also wildly jealous of. Right. I got behind a person who evidently lives somewhere up on the hill with me because their vanity plate spelled out Hill Dweller.
Right.
And the frame around the vanity plate said, on a clear day, I can see forever.
Right. Hate.
You love this person,
no.
You hate this person.
Hate because of the need they have to rub it in everybody else's face.
But don't you just quietly kind of want to be them, just like you kind of quietly want to be the person who taps on the person's shoulder who's got 12 items and the 10 item are left. Excuse you.
No.
Excuse you.
No.
Don't you wish you had an ounce of that?
I know.
So you were,
because you know what your payback is? The View. You don't have to rub it in people's faces.
Hold on. I love that show. And secondly, I don't know where that came from. And secondly, but don't you feel like these people are happier than you are? Because I have a View, too, and I just stare out of it, and then I think about what's wrong
now,
with my kid.
I'm with Kevin. I think there's something fundamentally wrong with this person, that he's not happy enough by the View. That isn't the reward enough, that he now has to try to get more glory from the world for having
okay.
that View.
All right, Bean is with me.
Totally with Kevin.
All right, so now I'm changing my View. Now I'm going with the other way. I like him.
Thank you. We can accept that for men, on the back of a car, license plate, frame, bumper sticker, no fat chicks is fine, and the In-N-Out Burger bumper sticker that's been modified to read In-N-Out Urge.
Right,
are the
sure.
only two acceptable ones. And for the ladies, expensive but worth it.
Right.
And yes, it's so classy. And the super demoralizing, yes, I do, but not with you.
You could write a whole chapter in your next book on those license plate frames, by the way, because I've had it up to here with my other car as a plane or whatever that whole series of plates are, too.
Oh, God, yes. We did it. You're a night nurse. Big effing whoop.
Right, exactly.
And last but not least, I always look for the little signs that show our society is coming apart at the seams. I saw a PSA, and it was a big sign, and it said, it takes courage to save money. And then I thought, oh, yeah, I remember when it took courage to be a dad a few months ago. And by the way, saving money, whose money are you saving? That's your goddamn money. Don't do me any favors, hero. And then I thought, what do we look forward to? Like, if you would have just told somebody 30 years ago, it takes courage to save money, they would have just backhanded you and called you an idiot, right?
Yeah, right. It took courage to go to Vietnam. It doesn't take courage right. to not spend your whole paycheck.
Right. And courage to be a dad, no, that's your responsibility. But I thought, like, 20 years from now, what can my kids look forward to in the PSA department? It takes courage to sit up. It takes courage to wipe. It takes courage to chew and swallow your food, like to breathe. Like, what else are we talking about, heroes? It's insane. All
yep.
right.
We are lowering the bar, that's for sure.
Oh, God, it's buried in the ground.
Adam Carolla, thank you very much. Always fun to talk to you on Wednesdays.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
I read some follow-up on that Daft Punk on Stephen Colbert episode from last week.
Right?
Yeah, big hullabaloo.
And apparently, and I don't want to bite into your time here, Ruff, but apparently Daft Punk was going to be on the show until they canceled, but they would not consent to be interviewed, they would not consent to perform, and they would not appear without their robot costumes on.
What?
So what the hell was Stephen Colbert supposed to even do with Daft Punk on the show? Were they just going to stand there while they listened to their music?
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
They would tap their feet while they played the track behind them.
He made it way better.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. The best thing that ever happened was them pulling out of that show, right? Check out that video if you haven't seen what Stephen Colbert did with it. He made his own video to get lucky. It's at kevinbean.com or krock.com in the Internet Roundup. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Oddly, the same plan for the VMAs for Daft Punk.
Is that right?
Yeah. They won't talk. They're not going to sing.
Not going to play.
But they will appear.
As robots.
Only in the audience as robots.
Okay.
I would just hire people to be me if that was the case. No reason for the real guys to be in those
suits. How do
you
know they haven't? Maybe that's their secret. They don't have to go anywhere. Okay. They just have Mumenschants come along and put on robot costumes.
They could be everywhere.
It's true. Speaking of music, sad news. Yesterday morning, John Brooks, drummer for the UK band The Charlatans, passed away. John was diagnosed with a brain tumor after he collapsed on stage in Philadelphia during concert in 2010. He had had several surgeries and was doing much better, but over the last few weeks, his health got much worse, and he passed away at just 44 years old.
That sucks.
So, Charlatan fans, sad, and rightly so. Grey's Anatomy fans.
Yes.
Are sad that Sandra Oh will be leaving the show.
Yeah! I know you don't like her, but I really like her.
After
the
end of the upcoming season 10, she told The Hollywood Reporter, creatively, I really feel like I gave it my all. I feel ready to let her go. Christina wants to be let go, and I'm ready to let her go. Oh, just let that go, would you?
Really? She's talking about her character like it's someone real?
In the third person, about how what your character wants.
I'm a little surprised this show is continuing.
I didn't know it was still on.
They could wrap it up at the end of this season. That would be fine.
Contracts for all the other stars of the show. That's Ellen Pompeo, Patrick Dempsey, Justin Chambers, James Pickens Jr., Chandra Wilson. They are also up at the end of the season, making people wonder if there will be any more desertions to come or whether, as Lisa mentioned, they might just pull the plug.
It's
had a
time.
Good run.
Yeah, it sure did.
Yeah. The president of the Grey's Anatomy fan club said, that show's still on? No surprise, Shark Week did very well for Discovery Channel. That's why they do it.
Sure.
An average of 2 million people locked into the primetime hours of Shark Week. The biggest rating for a single show was the fake documentary Megalodon, The Monster Shark Lives.
Really?
5 million people tuned in to watch the fake documentary during Shark Week.
And they're doing real documentaries with real danger and real sharks.
But it's the goofy one that they make up that everyone tunes in to watch. That's the Sharknado phenomenon for you
right there.
Yes,
it is. And that was also first. That was the first thing on the first night of Shark Week, too.
Yeah.
I think that helped it.
And this makes me furious. This will not stand.
No.
Senior source at Warner Brothers is telling several entertainment news gossip sites that the odds-on favorite to be cast as the new Batman in the Superman versus Batman film that will be Man of Steel 2 is Orlando Bloom.
First of all, no! No! No!
That can't be true.
If it is, you don't want to be around me. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. This drunk Irishman is going to be storming the gates in Burbank.
No! No!
He's thin. He's flimsy.
However, many people...
He can play a lot of roles, but I don't know Batman.
Many people are applauding the decision, saying it's about time that there was a female Batman. So, a lot of people think it's an interesting way to go. Cast against type.
Different direction.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor, comedian, legend, Steve Martin. 68 years old today. Hey, Steve, a little less banjo, a little more funny, okay? Thanks. Good times. Nice chat. Good sesh. Glad we talked. Marcia Gay Harden, 54 years old today, as is Magic Johnson. Halle Berry is 47 years old today. Apparently we didn't ring the bell last hour or something, and people are going crazy.
I haven't missed Halle Berry.
I don't think he's missed Halle Berry.
I got a bunch of emails.
Well, they need to pay attention.
Yeah. Listen up.
Put down the bong.
That's right. Open up a blog. Go sell your sausage somewhere else. Lamorne Morris. Winston from New Girl's 33 years old today. The lovely, the talented, the sweetest pie, Mila Kunis, celebrates her 30th birthday today. Tim Tebow. He's a quarterback in the NFL still.
Yeah, I just want to thank my teammates and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Of course, it's still preseason. So.
You think he'll see real playing time at all this year?
I do.
Behind Tom, Tom Brady?
I do.
You do?
I think they're going to bring him out for special packages, just like the Jets tried to do. Mm-hmm. Look, you're paying him $1.97.
Yeah.
Right.
It's nothing off your salary but cap. And if Belichick thinks he can have one more weapon, one more trick play, one more something that can help him win one more game, he will put that in his back pocket.
I get that, but forgive me for not being as knowledgeable about football as you are, but what can Tebow do that Tom Brady cannot?
Run.
Run.
Yeah. All right. Run better.
That's a good answer.
Brady's not the guy on the two-yard line you want trying to push it in, but that's what Tebow does. That's the one thing he can do. He's a
and that's not tough, that's not a slight on Brady
kid.
If you say, hey, sit down, we're sending in Tebow in this crucial moment in the game. Okay,
no. Brady's got nothing to prove, and he's all about winning too. I mean, the guy's
the Orlando Bloom of the NFL.
he's an amazing quarterback, but he's not. First of all, if you have Tom Brady, you don't necessarily want him to put his head down and go into a pile
because
he may not come back up again.
Plus, they'll have modeling gigs to do in the offseason. You don't want to screw with
someone
his face.
Someone can pull his hair, and then you don't know what's going to happen. But with Tebow, you go in there, he gets shot. You don't care. He's cannon fodder. You know, it just doesn't matter.
Do people get shot during a game in the NFL?
All the time,
I didn't know that.
Huh. You see a guy just go down, they have to cart him up the field?
I've seen that, but I didn't hear any gunshots.
Shot?
Oh, wow.
Well, no, the NFL doesn't want you to know that, but there's snipers up there in the top.
Plus, Ralph Rupp is an Eagles fan, so he's known about this inside play for years.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And DJ Omar Khan, our buddy who does all of our amazing intros and does all the sound effects on the show.
Omar North Tower.
That's his given name, sure.
DJ Omar Khan.
Couldn't do the show without him. He's the one guy, when he's on vacation, it hurts us more than anyone else taking a vacation.
Yeah.
True.
It really cripples us.
Complete opposite of the scale from beer money.
That's true.
Hey. We should have him in tomorrow to talk about being on the Do Not Fly list, though.
We should. That was a great story.
He's on it for life.
Omar Khan, the father of the second bomber.
That's right. It's his birthday today. I don't know how many years it is in sand, so I don't know. But I don't know his actual age. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, we may have a new hardest working man in show business. He's got himself a band. He's got a new CBS sitcom getting ready to debut. He's in the movie The To-Do List in theaters right now. And Friday, he opens up as one of the stars of the highly anticipated Kick-Ass 2. He is the mother effer himself. The artist formerly known as Red Mist. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Hey, guys.
On the Kevin
and
Show. Hey, Chris.
You gave me way too much credit right there saying I'm a hardworking guy.
Well, you got a lot going on, man.
Well, thank you.
Like a pretty busy dude. And I was reading up on you when you were making this sitcom at the same time you were filming Kick-Ass 2 on different continents and doing both at the same time. Like, how is that even possible?
It was exhausting. I was flying. Yeah, I did like the sitcom in L.A. and then I would have to fly to London, get off the plane, go straight to set, learn the fights, learn whatever was going on that day, fly back to L.A. I did that journey about 5 times.
Wow.
But it was great, man. You feel really good after you're done with that. You're kind of just really excited. But sadly, the sitcom is not getting picked up.
Oh, it's not happening.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It was a good experience to do the live audience and do that kind of thing. But it's not going.
That's a shame, because I know that you really enjoyed it and you thought it was really, really funny. So that does suck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was with my good buddy Nick Braun, and we had a good chemistry going, but something just didn't click with it and it didn't go. Mm.
It's funny that
so both of those things come up at the exact same time in your year.
In my year,
can't be offset just a little.
No, I couldn't. I didn't have time to go to the gym for Kick-Ass. I don't know if you guys have seen Aaron Taylor Johnson, who plays the lead.
It's insane. Up like, yeah. Insane. I can't believe it's the same guy. He looks like freaking Hugh Jackman.
And
now.
I wanted to do that. I could have been that. I could have been that ripped.
Are you positive?
Are you positive
you could have been that ripped?
Could have done something.
Yeah, I have a fast metabolism. I gain muscle in like a week.
I couldn't believe when I watched that. And by the way, phenomenal trailer for Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, thanks,
man. We're all
Thank
watching
you.
The Red Band one here recently.
Thank
and
you.
It is hard to believe that that's the same dude. Like, how long did it take him to go from what he looked like in the first movie to now?
I want to say he did like a good 3 or 4 months of just eating steaks, protein shakes, going to the gym every day. Yeah. I mean, when the director tells him to do something, he just goes for it. It's pretty amazing.
When you did the first Kick-Ass movie, obviously it had a fan base because of the comic book, but did you have any idea what a sensation it was going to turn out to be?
No, I think that's like kind of the magic behind it. People don't know that movie was an indie movie.
It was?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Matthew Vaughn, the director, sent the script to a bunch of people. Everyone was scared of Hit Girl, the 11-year-old girl, saying the C word and murdering a bunch of people. So he funded the whole movie.
Spoiler alert.
No, that was the first movie.
Yeah, I know.
And people were scared of the script. So Matthew Vaughn, Brad Pitt, a couple of his friends funded the whole movie. So, that, you know, there were no suits on set. There was no one kind of pressuring us. It felt very special. And we made that. And then there were fans. And now we made the second one. And we felt a little bit of pressure because we had this diehard fan base in the first one. So
right.
We,
well, now it's a franchise. Now there's expectations for it, and now they have a certain amount of money that you have to make. I mean,
yeah.
It's totally different, right?
It's actually the same budget as the first one because the first movie didn't make as much money as they wanted it to. But we got Universal behind this one, and they've been promoting it really hard. It's very exciting.
It's crazy to me that they know that there's a comic book and there's a following of that.
Yeah.
And they're afraid. They're afraid to touch it. That's crazy in this day and age.
I know. You feel like you've seen a lot of things done in movies before that you wouldn't be afraid of an 11-year-old girl doing this kind of stuff.
Right.
But no one wanted to touch it. Matthew Vaughn came in and made his own movie and kind of said, F you guys, and brought it to Comic-Con, and it blew everybody away.
Well, I have to ask the question, and I apologize if you've been asked this a million times talking about Kick-Ass 2, but the very first thing I thought when I realized that this movie was coming out is Chloe, who was how old when the first movie was made?
She was 11 when the first movie was made.
Okay.
She's 16 now.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was, I mean, that was one of the breakout performances of the year. I mean, she blew everybody away with, you know, with not only the how cute she was, but the dialogue and the fight scenes and the attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, she was great. It's a totally different experience. Like, it's a totally different thing when she's now 16. Like, can it work as well when we don't have, oh my God, that's a little kid kicking ass?
I think that was the question of making this movie was, how do we make Hit Girl work again? So we made the movie 3 years later, and we threw her into her first year of high school. So you see Hit Girl, but you also see her side character, Mindy McCready. You see her going through high school. You see her liking boys. And she does a beautiful performance of that.
She was on Jimmy Kimmel. She said still lives with her parents.
As she should if you're 16.
And,
yeah, what are you thinking, Kevin?
She's homeschooled. I mean, it just seems like a crazy life, but
she's grown up fast. I mean, since the first Kick-Ass, she worked with Scorsese. She worked
with
Johnny
Depp.
Yeah,
she's been in a ton of great movies, right.
Who's Tim Burton? Yeah, she hasn't stopped working.
Your character in the movie, Chris D'Amico, am I saying that right? D'Amico?
D'Amico, I didn't read the script, I don't know. we're both good.
Chris, he always wanted, you know, he loved superheroes too, I guess, like so many kids do,
yeah.
And he gets to be one in that movie and in this movie. How about you? When you were on set for the first time in a superhero costume, did it seem awesome to you, or did you feel really, like, self-conscious, like, this is super dumb?
I think both. Every person has dreamt of being a superhero at some point or another when you're younger, or if you're just like a 40-year-old dude in your room right now. I think everyone's been excited to be a superhero, so to throw it on was very cool. But then after the second day, when you're wearing a leather outfit for 9 hours, sweating out all your body weight, it gets very obnoxious and annoying.
Was it worse this time, or?
It was much worse.
Much worse this time.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen a picture of the outfit this time.
It looks pretty tight.
It's like 8 layers. It took 30 minutes to get on and off.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
It was. It looks fantastic and twisted and hilarious, but it was a pain in the ass.
Oh,
yeah.
Did they build it so that you could pee without having to take it off?
Nope.
Okay, all right.
Not a thought for that.
But
all right.
I would sweat out every bottle of water I would drink, so I didn't have to pee.
Interesting.
That's how the suit was. Interesting, I know.
Chris Mintz-Plasse is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about Kick-Ass 2, which opens up everywhere on Friday. More questions about his character, the mother effer, and what else is going on with Chris when we return after this on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Christopher Mintz-Plasse in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show talking about Kick-Ass 2. We have many more questions about that, but first, a little side business. Chris's band, the Young Rapscallions, is going to be playing where this weekend?
We're playing at the Whiskey on Saturday. Thanks for the shout-out.
Oh, that's
absolutely
cool.
And you are behind the drums.
I play drums,
them?
Yeah. And then my buddies who I've known for 10, 15 years now are in the band with me. Guitar player, bass player, and singer.
You didn't blow off all of your friends once you hit it big?
I can't do
Is
that.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
That's the worst advice.
You're supposed to start
advice.
Doing coke and get rid of all your friends.
Yeah, and just become friends with other actors.
Right.
And it's terrible.
That's not how it works.
And before we talk some more about Kick-Ass 2, you're in to-do list with some unforgettable scenes with you at Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
Tell us about that. Look, I don't know if you – did you know her before you had to hump her?
I did know Aubrey, yes. We've had some mutual friends. We talked a lot about the humping before.
So that helped, I guess, at least. You weren't walking in cold to this chick you'd never met before.
Yeah, it could go either way. It could go super awkward. I've had a couple sex scenes in the past that it's been very uncomfortable because – I'm awkward and the girl might be awkward, but Aubrey's super funny and super talented, so we just had a good time with it. And like we were saying before, she's really ballsy for doing a movie where the whole thing is her doing sexual activities.
Right.
I get nervous doing one of those, and she had to do like 15. So kudos to her.
No offense, Chris. But,
Aubrey,
but
she's definitely not listening.
Any sex scene that you are in is going to be awkward. Especially for the girl.
Wow.
Especially for the girl. No, I'm just saying.
Wow.
My girlfriend's listening right now, so she's at home going, it's true. It's true.
Shaking her head, yep. Let's talk about some of the – we mentioned Chloe. Of course, Aaron Johnson is back as Kick-Ass in the movie. It's opening everywhere on Friday. Let's talk about some of the other people in the movie. Jim Carrey is the guy who really did more to publicize how much we want to go see this movie than anyone by saying, stay away from it. It's too violent. Tell me what that was like when you heard that news.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, like, I should have been surprised, but I've met him, and he's a super nice guy, but he's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
He stays in character on set, which is great, but he's kind of like a bizarre dude. So when I heard it, I wasn't surprised. But I think what happened was he was only on set for 10 days. He shot his violence. He uses a baseball bat. There was no blood in his scene.
Right.
So everything we shot around him, he didn't know what was happening. And then when he saw the movie, there was a really intense scene where I think, like, 10 policemen get brutally murdered. In a comic booky cartoony way, it's a comic
book
movie.
But he had to know from the first movie that the body count was going to be like 100, right?
Yeah, he was a huge fan of the first movie, and we came to him, and he's like, "Of course, I want to do it. I'm a fan." But I think that the sequel, you have to up the ante, so we made the violence a little bit more intense. And he saw it, and it was just too much for him to handle.
All I know is when he said, I'm not going to promote it because it's too violent, I said...
You wanted to go see it.
I'm in.
Yeah. It is good publicity.
That was good publicity for me. Like, that's how I made my decision.
We got 12 bucks right here.
Absolutely.
Jim Carrey.
Absolutely.
Because of that. Can you top the guy who exploded in the microwave in the first movie, though?
Oh,
can you beat that?
There are some crazy moments in this one. That was pretty awesome, that bloodbath, but there are some intense moments. We'll talk about it when you see it.
All right. So this movie, a whole new group of superheroes has sprung up as a result of the success of Kick-Ass, right? And of Hit Girl. So now there's Dr. Gravity, and there's Insect Man, and there's Night Bitch. Are all of these made up for the movie, or are these coming out of the comics too?
I think most of them came from the comic book. Yeah, I think maybe Battle Guy, who is Clark Duke. Who was in the first one, he wanted to be a superhero really badly, so I think we gave him that role. But it all came from the comic book. It's kind of a spoof on Avengers. It's Justice Forever. And then I have an evil group called the Toxic Mega See You Next Tuesdays. Which is so... Mark Miller, who wrote the comic book, has such a twisted mind.
Right.
He would name me the Mother Effer and my group the Toxic Mega See.
I like it.
Yeah.
Was there any conversation with anyone, any kind of pushback on naming a major character in this film the Mother Effer?
No, he had the name before he even started writing the comic book. Like, he was sending me emails. It's like, you're going to be called this. He's like, he almost called me the See You Next Tuesday. It was like almost just my name. It was that close.
That would have been awesome.
It would have been awesome. I'm a huge fan of both of those names. But there were two things in the comic that we had to take out. There's a murdering of a dog that we took out for this movie, and there's a rape scene that we took out. Because those both...
Probably both good choices.
Good choices. This is a comic book. It's, you know, even though it's violence, it's fun. And you throw rape in there, it starts getting really dark.
Yeah.
It is crazy. And this happens in all sorts of movies where 800 people can die on a battlefield. But if the dog dies, then people are just... They start writing angry letters to the studio. They just can't handle it.
Dogs and infants, I think people care about more than actual human beings dying in a movie. It's very interesting. Well, I feel the same way. I see a dog die and I cringe and I get really upset.
Even if you just watch 60 people get taken down.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, I know it's fake. The dog was real.
All right. We're almost out of time. So Friday is when it opens up on everywhere. You have any special plans? Are you going to be appearing at any of the Southern California theaters for this movie this weekend?
Chloe, the director, and I may be jumping around from L.A. A bunch of screenings and introducing them, surprising crowds, because we love the movie and we want to promote it well. That's so we're going to jump around and introduce some screenings.
Jim Carrey, not so much?
Jim Carrey is going to be in the audience, hating it, picketing it.
You shall leave.
And you'll be on with our pal Jimmy Kimmel tonight on the TV, is that right?
I'm on Kimmel tonight with Oprah and The Wanted. Which is like a weird acid trip of pop culture.
So you're going to be in a green room with Oprah.
With Oprah.
No, she'll have her own green room.
She'll get her own green room. She'll walk in and she probably won't sit on the couch with me, which will be a little sad.
When you meet her, would you please hug her?
But I would. I feel like I could fit in her arms really nicely.
Let me finish.
Cuddle me.
But let me finish. a little too long. Hug her a little too long.
Okay. Just hold on.
Make her uncomfortable.
Hold on.
Done. And then at some point she's going to go security, get him off me. Then you've done your job.
And then I got a good story for Kimmel.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Chris. I feel like we've been having you on a long time, and we always look forward to you
thanks,
stopping
man.
By.
I love coming in, yeah.
We're very excited about the movie. Go see Kick-Ass 2 opening up everywhere this Friday, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Great. Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Congratulations to Corey Kleinsasser. Come on, God.
Corey Kleinsasser. Clary Hoisin Sarsen.
Just got himself
Clary
on the
Coffin Saucer. Right.
Stand by boarding list to see Muse, Cure, Queens of the Stone Age, Kings of Leon, Depeche Mode, and more at Austin City Limits in Austin, Texas. Your chance to maybe win that great prize happens with our friend Kat Corbett at 12:10 today, then at 3:10 and 6:10. Details at krock.com. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Clary Coffin Saucer in Rancho Cucamonga. That crazy rancho, it's Cucamonga.
Thank you. You're very kind. I've always said that...
Have you not learned anything from the past?
To give a lot, you got to love a lot. And to love a little bit is just giving a little love. But when you give a lot and you love a lot, then the love that you get back is more than any love you could ever hope to be given. Because the giving is in reality the taking.
Okay.
And so when you take the love, but then you give the love, then taking and giving both become lovely. Hooray!
That's all part of the good America that I believe in. That's the wonderful part, because as much as we are brought up certainly in different cultures all over the world, when you come right down to it, it bottoms out at human condition.
What is that? I don't...
And if the human condition is right, it serves you, the human, and it serves us out there who should be on the periphery.
All right. Okay. That's all we have time for. I'm sorry, Jerry.
But aren't they the humans, too, who are also being serviced? And the remote,
you'll never walk alone.
Hey, I've got tickets to give away to something. Something you're going to want to see. You know, it's been a while since I hung up the gloves, since I stopped my professional boxing
career. You retired.
But I still...
You were professional?
...follow the sport. Yeah, sure. Huh. I still follow the sport. And I love me some Showtime Championship Boxing. Unfortunately, some places you can't watch Showtime.
That's correct.
Championship Boxing. But in the good places... the good places where you can, it's one of my favorite boxing shows that's on television. Anyway, they are filming... The Mares versus Gonzalez fight, Saturday, August the 24th at the StubHub Center. Tickets are available at AXS.com. However, how about this? You don't have to go to AXS.com to get your tickets right now, because I'm giving away one pair of tickets to the Showtime Boxing, excuse me, Showtime Championship Boxing, Mares versus Gonzalez, Saturday, August the 24th at the StubHub Center. You get a pair of tickets. Right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take caller number 24, since it's August the 24th is the date of the event. And if you don't win, don't feel bad. Just $25. That's what they start at, those tickets at AXS.com if you want to see some live boxing. And boxing is one of those sports that you can watch on television all you want, and it's exciting and it's entertaining. But to be at a live boxing event, nothing like it on
the
planet.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah,
bang,
that's Jim. That's Jim Lampley. Who knows?
Bang, bang.
I've been to a ton of live boxing. And even, you know, the undercards, even fighters you know, I haven't heard of, maybe they're not at the top of their class. Maybe they're just coming up.
A lot of
always,
times.
Always. Some of the best fights are those, are the undercard fights.
Bang, bang, bang.
That's Jim.
Bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. Do you want to throw sometime? Bang.
Sounds like Jim's in the ring and he's just yelling at a guy.
Ed Carbon, he'll tell you. You know, my good friend Muhammad Ali once said, Pat, you know, when you get in the ring, you got a pretty good right hand there, buddy, and I think you could have been a professional.
That has never been said.
I used to fight back in North Dakota, of course, when I was young.
Anyway,
I don't think so.
I would play with my band, the Nimrods. We'd get up on stage, and then... It's pretty good keyboards, too, by the way.
Yeah.
And then I would play the national anthem.
Right.
And then I'd put on my trunks and get in the ring. Fight 40, 45 rounds.
And then, what are you talking about?
It's not even physically possible, Pat.
Well, back in the day, that's how many you fought.
It's not about. How many.
Well, we're
anyone
agree
ever...
to disagree on this one.
Because
my
wrong.
Buddy Oscar De La Hoya used to tell me.
You don't know Oscar either, by
can
the
I
way.
Borrow those fishnets? And I'd say, sure.
All right, that might have happened. Actually, that does sound reasonable.
Yeah, it does. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Heidi Fleiss is in trouble again. Former Hollywood madam Heidi Fleiss.
She's honked up, right? She'd lost
she's
her
a
mind.
Mess. She's a, just, yeah. a, just the hottest mess there is. You know, she
she's
lives,
the one who moved out to the desert, right,
she's
with
in
a bunch of birds?
She's
yeah.
in Pahrumph with a just a flock of colored exotic birds. And she's a lunatic.
Wow.
And cops showed up at her home looking for somebody else, and they discovered she was growing a little weed.
What a bummer!
It was just,
they were looking, they weren't even looking for her?
Nope.
Oh.
They come inside her house, and they find she's growing a little weed. And by little weed, I mean 392 pot plants. She says she was growing them for a Las Vegas cooperative, which makes and sells medical marijuana. Perfectly legitimate. One small problem. You need to have a license to do that.
So picky.
So she was charged with possession with intent to sell, possession of drug paraphernalia, maintaining a home where drugs are sold. The list goes on and on and on. Having wacky birds, having a honked up grill. They just slapped her with everything they could find.
This is the government literally harshing her mellow, by the way.
Literally.
Literally.
Duck Dynasty.
But it's only weed.
Duck Dynasty's fourth season premieres tonight on A&E. For you fans of the Robertson family, good news for those guys, too, by the way. They're getting more than $200,000 per episode this season.
That seems like a raise, I would imagine.
It is. It's about four times as much as they pulled down for each of the first three season episodes. However, they do have to split that amount between 20 family members. So everybody's getting $10,000.
But how many of them are kids?
Nine adults and 11 children.
You can stiff the kids.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what do they know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of guns around that family. I don't know if I'd be skipping anybody.
I want my fair share, Pa.
Next thing you know, someone's got a buckshot facial. You know what I'm saying?
Lisa, this may be the most popular television show in America that none of us have ever seen a minute of.
It's true. So, usually there's one of us in the group that has watched right. something. Usually Lisa. Yes. If it's on some fictional network that only exists in her mind. But from time to time, like Kevin introduced me to Crossing Lines. I didn't know that existed. He right. told me it was a thing. And Bean watches some things.
Bean,
and then
didn't
I do.
You promise earlier to watch this?
He did.
Tonight?
No, I did.
Bean
I did.
Said, I remember. We need somebody to bring in highlights. And we said, that was nice of you to offer.
Yeah.
I absolutely you're a good man, Bean.
But my question, did we ever find out if they, do they make duck calls mm-hmm. to the hunt? What do no. they do
well,
on
they,
the show?
They do hunt. Personally, but professionally, they make calls and decoys, I believe.
But that, is that the industry. Show is watching them make them and sell them?
No, it's hilarious comedy about a bunch of ignorant rednecks who crack wise with each other, and they go golfing, you know, and stuff, and camouflage.
So, in other words, it's like Honey Boo Boo right. in that the pageants was a jump-off point for this family to be put in situations.
It's just the wacky adventures of the Robinson family. And
I see.
And all the harebrained shenanigans they get up to.
Well, I think I'm going to pass again for season four like I did for the first three.
Glad you've agreed and volunteered to watch for it.
That is nice.
We appreciate that. And Def Leppard fans will be happy to know cameras were rolling during their recent Las Vegas residency at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Living with Def Leppard is a film that will be released. It was shot during those concerts back in March and April when the band was performing its Hysteria album in its totality every night, along with a bunch of classic Leppard hits. So the film will be shown in select theaters on October 2nd and 8th, and then it'll be released on DVD and Blu-ray after that. So Def Leppard fans, you can see some live Lep, as I like to call them.
You've never called them that.
I have. Ask Hartman. He
You've
knows.
Never.
I used to be the drummer for Def Leppard.
You were not.
Until I lost my arm.
That's not you.
That wasn't you, Pat.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Okay, but you can look down and see that you still have both arms.
Well, or do I? That's the thing. Or is it just a masterful prosthetic that I had made by the Duck Dynasty guys? The Robertson family made this
Oh, you know
me.
Them too?
Oh, sure. I've been duck hunting with those guys.
I don't think that's true.
All the beards are fake, by the way.
Is that right?
Nope. No. Today's celebrity birthday, Steve Martin is 68 years old today. Marcia Gay Harden is 54. Irvin Magic Johnson also turns 54 today. Halle Berry's 47. Lamorne Morris, Winston from New Girl, is 33 years old. Actress... She's one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Still Meg on The Family Guy, by the way.
Yeah.
She's adorable.
30 years old today. Tim Tebow is 26 years old. He, of course, is a quarterback. As we speak, I believe he's still with the New England Patriots. Of course, anything can happen. And our buddy DJ Omar Khan, who makes all the bells and whistles here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
DJ Omar Khan.
Celebrates his birthday as well. Happy birthday. Oh, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow morning, Bean will bring in highlights of Duck Dynasty.
I'm telling you now, don't get your hopes up. It's not happening.
So that you can hear more of this.
Hunting doves, it's one of my most favorite activities. Because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
That's right. That's what doves are.
Come on, Bean.
Look, I'm happy to listen to you host highlights of the show. It's not that I'm against hearing the show. I'm just not going to watch it.
Eva Marie will be on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show at WWE Diva.
That's what I'm talking about.
Also on Maxim Magazine, we have Dr. Drew, who is also a WWE Diva,
I believe. He looks great in that bathing suit.
Scott Lemieux and George Wright from Jungle Gold on Discovery Channel.
Okay, that's another show. It must come on after Duck Dynasty. What the hell is Jungle Gold?
Jungle Gold. What do you think they do? Just take a guess. Having never seen it, what do you think they do?
Well, I imagine they mine for gold in a jungle.
There you go. Good boy.
Well, how is that a show?
Yes, it is. Yes, you're a good boy. Yes,
how is that a show?
It's a great show. Bobby Slayton will be here, the Pitbull of Comedy.
That's right, Ellie Mae.
And because Lily Collins will also be on the program tomorrow talking about the Mortal Instruments City of Bones. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.